Hi everyone, welcome to episode 18 of Overload On Air. So a lot has happened in the past week, and the weekend before that, we recorded this episode. So the beginning of it is our thoughts on the new active duty roster for Masters. Then the rest of it is a bit of a nostalgia trip, so there's what we all thought would happen at the TempoCon announcement, before the TempoCon announcement. And then, for some reason, I blame Stu, we started getting into a lot of 80s cartoon theme songs, stuff like that. So they're badly recorded from YouTube, so I hope you enjoy them. And one more thing. Today the errata was released, which, well, did some things to Circle. But I want you to know that our podcast is virtually the only podcast where all of the Circle tactical advice remains sound, because our resident Circle player, Owen Old Faithful Brennan, has never done anything as dynamic and interesting as a double teleport assassination. He is one of these, they call themselves attrition players, I call them boring players. But yeah, if we've got any nuggets of wisdom regarding the Circle Ouroboros back there in the archives, they're still legit. So enjoy the podcast and see you next time. Episode 18 of Overload On Air. This time, it's number 18.
Sorry, I just laughed every time you say that.
Are you ready?
Yes.
It's because of the amount of times I've gotten it wrong.
Yeah. I know, I'm just waiting for you to mess up.
I'm Siski, I play Protectorate of Menoth. Sitting beside me here is...
I'm Stu, and I play Kador.
And on the laptop is...
Because somebody has to.
Yeah.
You missed a perfect opportunity to pretend you were Hal.
No, I am pretending I'm Hal. Just Hal plays Trollbloods.
Yeah, Hal from Malcolm in the Middle, not the old.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
And I'm Kieran and I play Convergence Badly.
Yay.
Fact.
So we're back after something of a hiatus. I do apologize for the last episode being so incredibly late, but...
In fairness, it needed it. Yeah. It needed the most heavy handing.
So you guys are never allowed to have an episode without me here again.
Yes, Dad. I think it's fine if I'm here and Brennan's not here, or Brennan's here and I'm not here.
Mm.
I think you here and Brennan when he's on his own is actually worse. But, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. He feels the need to escalate with you not there.
I'm
a natural barrier.
Yeah. No, but in Brennan's head, Brennan is like, you know, the kid from the streets who has to tell it like it is, you know?
The streets of Kilkenny.
The mean streets of Kilkenny, which by, or whatever the fuck they say in Kilkenny. But, yeah, so if you're, you know, he understands that he thinks of us as squares and you are like, I don't know, because you've got the like piercings, you know, clearly you are more street.
Oh, okay, so he's
you know,
trying to
you're
impress
from the
me.
You're from the north side. He's trying to impress you when you listen back to the
it
episode.
It makes so much sense.
Yeah, yeah. He's just looking for affection in a world gone mad.
He wants a father figure.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He wants a midnight cuddle.
Yeah. That was the name of my band.
Midnight Cuddle.
Midnight Cuddle. We did not
the
do
first
that.
Album, All You're Gonna Get.
Yeah. Then the second album, titled Midnight Cuddle as well, you know, as they often are.
Oh,
the
nice.
Difficult second album. Some hits you may have heard of. Legal in the country in which it was made. And that's not my sausage.
You know, you've heard that song.
Oh, yeah.
That's bit... not my sausage. Red, red, white. Wait, no.
You'd be bored to do the cover of that one.
Yeah, they did. They did. We took them to court, but, you know, you can't get to these reggae bands, man.
They've got nothing other than weed.
Yeah.
And unemployment.
So how are you, Mike? Thanks for Skyping in with us today.
Thanks very much for having me on the show. I'm a big fan, etc., etc. Yeah, things are great. I'm currently sitting painting troll bloods because I don't have to pretend to socialize if I'm in person.
Woo! Are you wearing pants?
Yes.
No, you're not Skyping properly.
What do you take me for?
That's not how you paint troll bloods. I assume you'd be wearing knee breeches.
But no, yeah, I was playing the All Ireland qualifier things that we're doing at the minute. The Jerry set up. Me and Ian played our game earlier, or one of our first game of our thing earlier on today, which was stressful as fuck because I was like, oh, he's gonna bring Badagas because he's a dickhead, and then I tagged for Badagas and then he didn't bring Badagas.
Oh,
but you actually missed it. Fine.
So yeah, I won, but it came down to like 5 minutes on the clock between the two of us. So
yeah, he checked for Bradagas in both lists, Kieran. That's the only way to be safe.
No, genuinely, I was convinced he was bringing Bradagas, so both my lists were checked for Bradagas. I had two Night Trolls in both lists. So I was like, okay, shit, this didn't work.
You were playing Night Trolls?
No, Slag Trolls.
Slag Trolls.
That's a new Bradagas tech. I also heard Night Trolls, and I was like, Eyeless Light, no Pathfinder, Mike, really?
No, we'll talk about Mike's super secret Night Troll tech against Bradagas later in the podcast, folks.
Keep listening.
Yeah.
It's guaranteed.
Don't change that channel. So,
for your own sake.
Yeah, so how are you, Stu?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah?
I played 4 games of War Machine today.
Good job. It's
the first games I've played in like 2 months.
Mm.
Did you win all of them? I did not. I lost one.
Suck. That's because you suck.
I did beat Kieran twice, though. Once in less than 10 minutes.
I think combined it was maybe more than 10 minutes.
Maybe.
Yeah, it was bottom of one.
Bottom of one.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
So, and then Kieran, how are you getting on?
I played 4 games this year. Yeah, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
I'm painting though. Yeah,
yeah. I've played 2 games this year.
Oh crap! Woohoo!
Against Noel, I lost both.
Noel.
Noel Flynn.
Noel is fine.
Yeah, and just kind of been a bit burned out on War Machine. Never thought it would happen, but I don't know. I've been playing this. RPG Online, which takes up like 2 hours every day.
That's... RPG Online, do you mean World of Warcraft?
No, I mean like play by post RPG.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's been taking up a lot of time, but that's finished next week.
Is that why nothing's been posted on the news?
Yep!
I'm playing Suikoden.
What is it you're playing online?
So?
Is that how you pronounce it?
It's Suikoden. Have you ever heard of Legend of the Five Rings?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, so it's like, it's called Winter Court, so it's like the official play-by-post RPG. It started up in December and it's finishing up next week or the week after.
It's actually run by the company, is it? Or...
It's run by, like, yeah, the story team has interaction with it and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
So I've been having a lot of fun, but it's, like, taking up all my fucking time.
Does it have campaign or overall story influence?
Some, like, I think some of the deals we'll make as player characters will, like, result in cards being made.
Okay.
So, like, you know... The different clans you make a deal with, like our clan has a lot of archers, so if we make a deal with another clan, that a card will be made that is for both clans, because it's, you know, okay, bilateral, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's good. I have room in my head for one gaming thing at a time. It used to be Blood Bowl, now it's War Machine. Well, it used to be War Machine. Now it's
Legend of the Five Rings.
Yeah. So I'll be back to War Machine soon. And, you know, announcements will be made at TempoCon, and that'll kind of rile me up again.
Oh, yeah, there'll be loads of shit, though, huh?
Yeah. Mm. So, let's start with our first topic. So, the most recent kind of big announcement from Privateer Press was the new tournament format. And I think the most ructions happened to Masters. So, just for those of you who haven't heard it, The big changes to Masters are that it will now be only two lists
whereas before it was three, and that was one of the big differences about the Masters format.
This is for all of those of you who only get your War Machine information from us, you poor, poor bastards.
We were ahead of the scope the first episode, purely by chance.
There's an episode where you accidentally looked something up as it was posted.
Yeah, we did. It was the Kiltari came up, but I think it got posted after the fact. We went up after it, and saying the last podcast we were breaking news about the European Championships, but then the podcast went up 2 months later. But we were there. We had that news
in the lockdown.
Yeah, every single part of that podcast was at least a month and a half old. There was three parts of it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's the Masters format you should be looking for. Yeah. privateyourpress.com, and then go to
And it's the same exact same scenarios for Masters as for Steamroller. Yes. There's even less Steamroller scenarios.
And Brian Gauntlet. The only thing that's different is Hardcore. It has its own specific scenario. Everything else is the same.
Yeah. So.
I didn't even look at Hardcore.
And then.
It's the exact same. They have no change.
Okay. Also, they've brought in this active duty roster thing where the shittest Warcasters.
No, supposedly it's the least played Warcasters get put together.
Yeah, but how do they formulate that? Like, how do they
read a lot of the shitty ones?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the same. It's mostly the same thing. Like, but they'd have information from all the major cons. Like, they'd have all of the ones they run themselves. So they have Lock and Load. They've got War Machine Weekend. They've got Temple Con. So they'd have all of those like results. So they'd be able to work out a good chunk of stuff. They'd also know roughly, like, they'd have a decent sale figures. They'd be able to say, we know Epic Morgul doesn't sell that well. We know that, our Tesser and the Menoth doesn't sell that well. So they'd be able to get some sort of idea of what's played.
It's like, if it's difficult pairs as well.
Yeah. I think you look at most factions have some really crappy kind of choices with one or two good ones. Trolls came off the best this round, I think. Now whether that says a lot more about the faction in terms of there's either more players, they play a wider scope of casters, or there's less players but they just play this tournament I'm playing these two pairings, the next Masters I'll play these two pairings, and whatever way it worked out, that there's always good choices for them. But I think it'd be interesting to see in July how that works out, because I think most people are saying Trolls are the best out of this. And either Kador or Signar kind of seem to be getting the worst.
Yeah.
Scorn isn't great, but looking at what's left for those three factions.
Minions are
Minions actually have good choices. The problem is they don't need anything for them. Yeah, exactly. But I think, look at July this year when, for Scorn, for example, so what's seen as our worst caster, Epic Morgul, and then our least played caster after him, which would normally be Naresh. And then Prime Hexers, they'd be all considered not great casters.
What two would you play out of that list?
Out of that, Mordekaiser and probably Hexy 1, but it could be Naresh either.
Yeah.
Those three I'd play.
Yeah, Martin kind of likes Naresh.
Yeah, Naresh, I think, purely just because you've got the strength buff and armor buff on him. Though Epic Morgul's not too bad. I've played one or two games with him.
Yeah.
Iron Flesh is really annoying.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
What about you, Mike? What two would you play out of that list?
I'd be Mordekaiser and Naresh, definitely. Naresh is slattish as fuck.
Yeah.
I love him. There's no two ways about it. Playing a tier, it's just silly fun.
Yeah. So, like, the question is, with a lot of these casters, I mean, if you're talking about theme forces, really, are specialists doing you any good, you know?
It depends on the theme force. You look at something that's
a lot of them not, but some of them, yeah.
Yeah. You look at Minions and Convergence, both of them have... Convergence theoretically has a really good option. It's anything but it can. So the rest of their stable is open to them. But because you've got so little things you can actually pop in and out, that specialists don't make a massive difference. Now, it's much worse for Minions than it would be for Convergence. But it's kind of, you look at looking at Kador or Signar, where you have so many Merc options for you that can completely change the way the army lists play.
Mm.
There's definitely factions that benefit a lot more from it.
Yeah.
But yeah. Trolls love specialists as a rule, just because you can swap in that utility light whenever you need it.
Yeah. What are the Mike's Night Troll fit in there.
Like two night trolls.
Oh yeah.
Two night trolls.
What are the troll ADR warlocks?
Grim 2, Doomy 2,
Jarl,
and Gunnbjorn.
So everyone barred Gunnbjorn is a really solid option.
Yeah.
Gunnbjorn's not terrible, he's not bad, right. Yeah, but like the other three are really good options.
Grim 2 is amazing.
Those are warlocks that see play, you know? Like, you played Doomy 2, did you, there against Ian, Mike?
Oh, no, I was playing Epic Magic against Ian, but I used Doomy 2 the last NI qualifiers tournament thing.
Yeah.
Just because of the ADR thing, I wanted to see. Because I play Grim 2 all the time. So I was like, sweet, one of my most played casters is in this ADR shit, so I might as well try out one of the other options. And
yeah.
It's Doomy 2 is the only one that's actually really that different in terms of playstyle, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
maybe Jarl, because although Jarl has guns, his whole shtick is really fucking fast and in your face.
Yeah.
Has anyone actually looked at, it'd be interesting to see if you could kind of predict how the meta is going to go this year for Masters in terms of what part of the year has the most number of Masters that would kind of generally be recognized as the most important. So Bavarian, UK, War Machine Weekend, like, and they're all in different parts of the year, but would you say that this 6 months has a denser selection of what would be considered important Masters, or whether it's the second part of the year?
Yeah.
Whereas if it was this year, you could see a lot more troll players, but
next half is, you're also going to see, is the two invitationals, which I think will skew it a lot because they seem a lot more important.
Well, I don't mean it. So you'll see it, but I'm just wondering, with potentially being trolls being really powerful this 6 months, Scorn and Signar and Kador in ADR being bad, whereas when you've got the change out in July 1st, will you see Scorn coming up with a really strong selection? Trolls, I think, can have a bad selection just the way their casters are.
Well, but particularly, I mean, if it rotates. So, I mean, who do you think will get rotated out of Convergence there?
The only thing I can think of is they'll take out one of them. I'd say they'll probably take out Centurion, maybe. And the only thing I'd say they won't put Lucant in. I'd say they'll put in the new guy if he comes out. And I think he will come out this part of the year. And right. That's the only thing I think, because Luke Hanton there would be brilliant, and it'd be automatically all Convergence players would play ADR.
Yeah.
Now, there's not that many Convergence players, but
because they've said that every caster will spend some time in ADR roster at some point, right?
Yeah, but they could change their mind next year and say actually.
They'd also cut it down the number.
Yeah, they might just change one at the end of the year. So they might just say, what was the least one used, take it out, or what was the most one used, take that out, change it.
Or they could even be something like, you know, it has to be Lucant and Axis or something. Like, you know, they could actually reduce the number of options available to you to actually force you into, like, a specific pair.
Mm.
Which would be more of a thing for Convergence than the other factions, because it has...
Or Convergence mightn't change just because of, of the limited option. Yeah.
Yeah. So just talking about Trollbloods there, what two would you place to out of that list?
Hunter's Grim, obviously. I think basically everyone who play Trolls with ADR is going to play Hunter's Grim because they're really good, and Grim lists with 20 points of flex are amazing. There's so much that you always want too much stuff in that list, and having that flex is great. I'd probably play Jarl. I think Doomy 2 might be the technically better option, but I've always really wanted to play some more Jarl.
I do not like Doomy 2. He's so boring. I don't like playing all beasts in Trolls. I don't know why. It just doesn't interest me. It's just like, okay, I have four models on the table, and then the game's over because I died because I can't protect this Defense 2 caster or whatever it is.
Basically Defense 2, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really bad at playing Doomy 2 as well. But Jarl, the thing you can do with him is you can play, you build a Jarl Meat Mountain, and then you can have models you can just swap out.
Mm.
So you can swap in and out of a Meat Mountain build, which is pretty
good. Yeah.
Mm.
I love Jarl as well. I just love stylish casters, and Jarl, I've always... It's so fucking fast. I love it. And I run 16 on the first turn. Yeah, plus 2 speed on Fenblade running 16. It's like, yes!
Yeah, it's not annoying at all.
And
plus Magic Bullet.
Yeah.
The most ridiculous spell in the world.
How does Specialist work then? Are your character restricted across all of your stuff?
Yes, it's Specialist, 20 points per list.
Right.
So you'd build a 70 point list or 75 point list, whatever it is. But you have an extra 20 points that just sits outside.
But they eat up characters. The characters in your specialists, it counts as being used.
And then, like, you can't have the same character in both specialists, for example?
No.
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 Yeah. It's just like having more lists. That's also people immediately, like, when Lakator, when the idea was dropped, I saw people were like really excited about the idea of Saoirse whenever got in, but like it's just not any good for her. Because I think people forgot that it was character restricted. Because you could dump all your characters in specialists and not have it restricted, Saoirse one would be bananas. Because you'd just be like, I don't give a shit what's in my normal Saoirse list. I'm character restricted. All my characters are in specialists. But because it is restricted, she still eats up all your characters and doesn't want specialists. So.
Yeah.
There's an interesting point that Muse raised, and thought of it was just about the fact that it's probably more a headache for TOs is trying to understand when people look at their specialists and if they are in tier, and does it actually change, how does that affect their tier if they do change any of that out? That's going to be really annoying.
It's really annoying.
But the whole thing has to be in tier, right?
No. You're better. You don't have to be in tier or out tier, but if you're in tier and you're at, say, tier 3, you have to stay at tier 3. You can't.
Yeah.
So you can't even sub-model change your level in a theme.
Yeah, that's what I thought. If you build a theme force list, it has to stay. It
has to stay at the level you're at.
Yeah, yeah. So if you build a tier 4 theme force list, if you do specialists, you must remain tier 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
The same character isn't in there twice.
One thing I want to know, I don't know if it's spelled out specifically. If you... Clearly, you have to pick two objectives. Or you have to pick an objective per list.
Mm-hmm.
Can you have a specialist for your objective?
I
don't know. I assume not, but I'm just wondering, is it in there?
It's probably not. It's because there's 20 points and the objectives aren't really anything to do with points.
I know, yeah. You're cool, though.
It'd be cool, though, yeah.
And I've got this bunker for now.
I'm just going to slip in this.
They haven't done like a Prime and Epic version
together?
Not yet.
No. I'd say it could happen, though. Mm. Especially with, like, I could easily see Makeda 1, Makeda 3 being up on those lists at some stage.
Yeah, actually, that makes a lot of sense because they don't see a lot of play.
Yeah. Makeda 1 on this would be really good.
Yeah.
Just have Mammoth on the sideboard and just take that in there.
Yeah, that's sticking a Gargantuan or Colossal as your whole specialist is actually pretty strong.
Yeah. Just looking at.
Especially in Convergence, because you go, okay, you either have to deal with Prime Axiom or.
50 bajillion dudes.
Yeah.
50
bajillion. Makes list checking really fucking difficult. Because you're dodging a third list.
Yeah.
Trying to.
Yeah, the problem with Convergence, though, is that most, like, apart from Aurora, Axis I'd run in tier, Centurion I'd probably run in tier, Iron Mother, I'm not really sure, but I'm just, like, if you're stuck with tier and them, it doesn't kind of, the options are even more limited.
Can you make a team force with your specialists?
No, your list is built as is, and you're either in. You're in from your main list or out from your main list, you can't actually.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Just looking at the men off casters, the only one I've really ever played is Tyra, and
she's pretty good.
She is. She should. Yeah, and like, I think she would really benefit from specialists actually, because like, stuff like the main tool you want, I suppose, is the Covenant for a men off list. You know, the rest of it is already in there, kind of thing.
I really want to play against Epic Resnik.
Yeah, I'll be getting him. Soonish.
Cause yeah, when he came out, everyone said the shit. But it's kind of one of those ones you kind of like, you read people's battle reports against him, and it just kind of seems actually no, he's pretty decent. Like
yeah, but like the only really, I remember the only condemnation that Brennan could bring against him is that he didn't do anything that the Harbinger and Krios didn't already do, and so now that if you're doing ADR, you're not going to play either of those. So you take Resnik as your maybe all comers, but I don't know. Because I don't think you want to play a huge base against Crix still.
No.
But
it's the same. This feat really seems like it'd be good against Crix Swarms, but he's really not.
Yeah.
Literally just kills him every time.
We'll see.
But he can... There's some thread I was reading, and he can RFP... It's like 15 models a turn or something like that, depending on... there was some build some guy was playing, which is like... Bleh. It was against Convergence, obviously. It was like, what the fuck?
RFP, so good. Yeah.
And then you have your Testament of Menoth.
Another thing that's really good against Convergence.
Yeah.
Fuck you and your soul.
Oh, he's ridiculous. It's just like when I first read it, I was like, oh, no.
The Omegas. He's only got a 10-inch control range. Yeah. Don't worry about it. And Severus, who, you know, is apparently really good, but I've never played him. So
Severus, is it? It's every one or two.
Epic.
Epic. Yeah.
No, War Machine Weekend Invitational champion.
Yeah. I know, yeah. If you look at the finals from War Machine Weekend, yep.
They're Severus both on the ADR.
Yeah, he's there.
Kaya 2's there. Yeah, yeah. God. So it'll be interesting to see.
Two and Vigor 2, not there.
I mean, it's going to be a little bit of a headache for Masters having to keep track of all this stuff. But
that'll be fine.
We'll see.
I'm just going to lock Kira on the bathroom with the lists and
Yeah. You can check them. Thankfully, you can just build it in War Room and just kind of do your specialist on the side.
So. Oh, has War Room already been updated with that?
Well, it has a specialist option.
Uh-huh. I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. And can people actually, like, send you the lists and stuff?
Yeah, but I still have to re-enter them. No, hang on. No. Someone will have to re-enter them.
Kieran has volunteered to re-enter all of the lists for the Archmaster.
Is there any way to have War Room running on a laptop?
No, you can do... Forward Commander has a decent capacity for... Does it do specialists?
No.
It doesn't actually do specialists, no.
Well, there are programs you can get which launch mobile apps on your desktop. But
they're really awkward. Like, second War Room is fidgety enough on a second machine. You can imagine just trying to run through an emulator.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
Okay, cool. So, overall, who do you think... So, Trolls best?
Trolls will always be really good, and I think they're probably the best right now. But Trolls just have so many... Like, the worst caster in Trolls is on the list right now, which is Gunbjorn. But it's hard to make a list that's just
gone. Possibly change to Trolls LDR that would make it any worse than it is at the minute? Yeah. If Trolls is the best as it is at the minute, and they ever change it, it's only going to get better.
Yeah.
It's true. But I'm excited about it, because I think it'll lead to some... things about these casters being discovered, and you know, because possibly. I think people will try it just because they get this added benefit.
Well, CanCon Masters had a lot of people playing ADR.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I forgot that was
a 64 player.
Well,
Trent did
really well.
Was he the highest place of the?
Yeah, he was the highest place. Yeah. I think
of the ADR players.
But like it didn't seem to like. You know, like it just seemed like it was an option. It didn't seem better or worse.
But I think that's kind of what you want. You don't want it to be the obvious have to do this.
Yeah, you don't want it to be so terrible that no one does it, or so great that everyone does it.
Mercenary seems really good.
Ostrom is there. Ostrom
and
Shay.
Yeah.
And Fiona and Magnus too might actually be good with things. And Magnus, that objective, the Arcane Wonder objective, is so good for Magnus.
Yeah,
he's reducing the cost of calamity is really good.
Yeah, I haven't even started to look at SR 2015 stuff. Like
Retribution's also really good. Kalissa and Ran.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Well, it's good for the two. The rest of the other two, not so much.
Ran being on there is good, but they're always going to have to get somebody good on there.
Well, how many casters?
Ran's is the best.
They only have 8 casters, right? Or do they?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It's 8, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's Epic Virus, Assyria.
Ossian.
Ossian, and...
Is it going 7?
I was wondering, missing someone. The other one, Snipefeed Kill.
That's Raven.
Raven, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Ran's probably the best in that one.
Who are the other two that are in there? ADR?
Gareth and Virus 1.
Virus 1.
Yeah.
I'm desperately trying to open it here on my phone, but it's being really fucking slow.
I think it's a really cool addition. It'd be interesting to see it now. CanCon at least had a non-US style master, so you could see there's a lot of options there, six, seven rounds, and you could see with that many players, kind of a proper percentage of how many people would actually be there.
7 rounds. Holy shit. There's I suppose ours had 6 last year. Yeah.
It might have been 7, might have just been 6, but it was like a more what we would consider standard
just master rock tournament masters,
as opposed to what the US do, where it's just get your top 16 out of various different events and then just run 3 rounds of 4 rounds.
Yeah.
I think the switch to 2 list is really interesting as well. Like, especially because I keep finding myself still thinking about 3 lists and then realizing that there's no point because there aren't 3 list formats.
Yeah, some people are saying it's brilliant, we're only down to 2 lists now, and then as a scoring player I'm like, I prefer 3. I really prefer 3.
I was like thinking about 3 lists, but I never really liked the follow through of playing 3 lists.
I just like the option of it because I think it's just from playing Scorn for so long, where you've just got, this is my armor crack list, this is my kind of bit of all comer list, and this is my other list that does something weird. But I could never build 2 lists that could generally cover everything. Crick's is always the obvious one, but
I kind of threw a spanner into my Kador plans because I had this like 3 lists I was going to practice, and I was like, I'll build for this, and you know, I'll play Sorcia 1, Vlad 3, Eris 2, and I'm like, I have to cut one of these. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. Like, I was looking forward to practicing 3 lists again. after the WTC to this Magnus all last year, and then having it taken away from me the last moment was a bit weird.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's less for me to worry about for Kato, and I'm kind of appreciating only having focusing on two lists, even though like I'm not actually going to play any Masters events, so focusing on two lists was dumb.
I know there's people here celebrating it's a good idea, because even just from a model transport point of view.
Yep. But I'd argue, though, if you're looking at ADR, then you're just going to be in the same kind of boat.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Just don't play ADR.
That's true, yeah.
Like, bring the casters, but don't play the specialists.
I can fit almost all of my conversions into one KO case.
Just, if you're playing trolls, put two units of warders in your ADR, and you're done.
Yeah. I could fit two lists in a KO case, that's pretty good. And I could fit three lists for Scorn in a... my kind of bigger case. It was great. So no, I don't mind. I play armies that can fit in smaller cases.
Yeah, don't play cricks, fuckos.
Yeah. Although now that access list takes up a lot of space.
Okay, don't play cricks. You stupid, what, 40?
No, it's 49 infantry. Yeah, 49 advanced supply infantry. No, 46.
Is there a requirement to have all the models with you?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
If it was not back in the day.
If you have it written down, you have to be able to show it.
Right.
Way back when, in the dark days of Mark 1, you could just write shit on your list.
Oh, yeah?
You could write a second list you were never going to play.
You still can, though. Like, you can do that at WTC now. You can just say, oh, this is my second list.
Yeah, it totally had Bane Riders in it.
Almost on the cutting edge of being
monotone. Yes.
That wasn't that me, just pointing out. I was not the first person being controversial in this episode.
You should have.
A lot of floodgates are open.
Yeah. Let's just talk about that for the rest of the
night. Oh, man, Mike's going to let us have it.
No, I finally got up the Active Duty roster on my phone, and Captain Jeremiah Cray is in Signar, and you said that was one of the worst ones, so I have to fight you now, because he's...
No. All right.
Yeah, let's get going. We're going to Belfast, I'm fighting Mike.
No, Cray, I really like Cray. It's the other options aren't fantastic.
Yeah.
Likely story. And I'm not saying they're bad options. Yeah. It just when you look at Signar as a whole, you've got right. Epic Haley, you which is right. So high. You've got fucking what's his name? Siege as the kind of one of the next ones up.
Yeah.
You've got Epic Kane at the same level. You've got so many good casters that are so obvious. They're such good choices that when you look at this ADR, you're like, why would I not play them?
Patrick Dunford thinks the Kray is the worst caster in Signar, so you know.
How does he know?
He's bad at the game.
He plays Karas Long.
He does.
His opinion does not matter.
Why isn't Sloan one of the four?
It's weird, yeah.
Yeah,
I'd say, she'll be on the next one.
Yeah,
next time.
They've got a lot to rotate in.
Yeah,
there's a lot that doesn't see play.
They do. So round two for them is going to be Sturgis, Sloan.
Striker 3 and Kane 1.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't want to play that either.
Yeah.
It's typically design worse ones.
Because I think they want to have a healthy selection of the newest caster and...
Every new released caster is immediately added to the ADR.
Yeah, immediately.
Oh, really?
But the thing that, look at the current release schedule. We know up to April, there's no new casters.
Right.
So you're going to have 2 months.
They're all going to drop at the last minute and see if it...
I'd say what this is going to do is it's going to push. So you'll be able to guess that casters come out in May or November.
Yeah.
Which makes some sort of sense. And I think that's roughly where it goes. My phone just gave Siski a raging horn.
It could be really interesting at like the big cons and stuff, though, because at Gen Con, they'll drop casters early and they're legal for play there.
Temple Con, if there's any casters
there. Like if they are also immediately entered into ADR, that could be hilarious for big Masters events and conventions.
Oh, yeah.
If something like Bradagus were to drop at a convention...
Yeah. But that's fine though. You look at Bradagus when he first launched, no one cared because
the team force wouldn't be out.
Yeah. But it's
you have to figure it out in like an hour, a couple hours.
Yeah. So, but now you always get one of people that will play them, but
never as
there hasn't been a caster that was launched winning a con in a long time. I'm trying to remember the last one that did it.
Morvana got dropped a week before Pagani won a con with her. Morvana 2.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a very big con.
Yeah. I think it'd be very interesting
right before, because Assyria was pretty new by TempleCon.
Yeah.
But like it's always been like someone like, actually the only time I think of it, it's Pagani. and it dropped the week before, and that guy will play like 30 games in that week.
Does he play test though?
Him? Yeah, he play tests like mad. He plays.
No,
like,
I mean, is he a play tester? Oh,
I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, is he a play tester that he knows what's coming out? I don't know. I'm just wondering.
So I'm just wondering, like, in terms of going from three lists to two, maybe the most recent Masters that were you were at the NI Masters, weren't you?
I was.
You were.
I couldn't make it.
Yeah. So what did you play in your three lists there?
I played Sorcerer 1, Vlad 3, and Iris 2.
Alright, so which is getting dropped?
Iris 2.
Okay.
Really?
He's good, but he's kind of boring.
So what is he not? You... But is he not like your... Oh, I suppose your brace, the Braddock's option.
So he was your contingency plan? Was he? Like, what was he? What was he there for? That he's getting out.
He was super awesome against Menoth, and is super great against Menoth, and also really good against Braddock's. And I'm just kind of not really thinking it through that hard.
Mm. Well, actually, here's a point. If anyone hates playing against Braddock's and they don't want to play him anymore, just move to Ireland. We've only got one player that plays him really, and he's in Cork, and no one cares about Cork. So
it's not a real place.
Well,
it's not even in Ireland.
Ian's playing.
Ian plays Braddock's.
I don't care about that sort of.
Ian only plays Tomek. All right. That's a fact.
Yeah, Tomek will knock him out in the first round, and we won't worry about
matter,
it anymore.
Yeah. No matter what tournament it is, first round you will have those two playing.
Yeah, Tomek will dance with his pecs and then, you know, hypnotize Ian into not playing Braddock's in the first round. Then knock
Ian kill him
out.
With an Earthbreaker, and it'll be done.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Mike? At the NI Masters, what were your three lists?
Grim 2, Forka 2, and Gristle 1, I think.
So which of those will be getting cut?
Well, because if it's down to two, I have to completely rethink them. All, although Grim 2 is my go-to caster if I'm picking like a friendly game or like someone comes around unexpectedly by War Machine, as they want to do.
Yeah.
Yes, Grim 2 is always my go-to caster, so he'd be the one sort of consistent.
Yeah.
Caster, I mean, I have no idea. I've been struggling with this since SR15 drop.
Yeah. And now will you be looking at the other ADR casters and kind of?
Yeah, that's why I was playing Doomy 2 last week, was to see. Because especially if, I can't remember, are Masters in general all Divide and Conquer Zero now?
No, they're
D&T one.
It's specified.
Okay.
So you only need to play the list once, so you could pick some random team force that you're halfway comfortable with, and then just drop it first round.
Because I'm just curious, because it's, because the Irish Masters, or no, the shit, what do you call them? Stu, you're organizing these. What are the things on Fridays and Saturday called?
Qualifiers.
The qualifying things, what are they called?
I just had a stroke, alright? Are they Divide and Conquer Zero? I have somewhere in my
They're just 50 point zero. SR tournaments.
So right DNC now. Zero then?
DNC Zero, no ADR.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sure.
So are they standard steamroller, are they?
Well, I mean, we're going to be running them as Jackhammer, actually.
What's Stu saying? They're standard steamroller, which means they're time turns?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Definitely time turns.
Time turns, DNC zero. The proper way to play steamroller, internet, listen to me.
But no, yeah, it's like, I took Doomy 2 because it's like, I was talking to Adam about it, and he's like, well, just pick a list that you don't actually have to play, especially if it's DNC zero.
Yeah.
And it means people look at it and go, well, if I drop this and he drops that, then I'm fucked. Just to get them thinking, which I guess is part of building lists that I never consider. I always build a list with the intention that I will have to play this at some point. So, I don't know. I'm really bad at pairing. List pairings is one of my biggest weaknesses.
You're going to get a lot more list chicken this time, I think.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about the WTC not being DNC anymore.
Oh, yeah. But you're going to get the most feckin'... I cannot wait to see the teams, and it's only there's only one player on the American team that doesn't play Crix on the first team. Or so I think looking at that, there's only I think so I'm wondering, are they going to like maybe we should just take this around?
I feel like they could actually all play Crix, couldn't they?
You could,
because
there's been a lot of talk about that.
Yeah, because it's been mentioned a few times, but like,
anyway, move on. We'll actually move on to the second topic at this point.
Jesus, yeah, they all
look at that for a smooth transition.
That was a natural, organic transition right up until the point where we pointed it out.
Well, there are still things about steamroller that need to be talked about.
Fine, Mr. Non-Continuity.
Look, Mike, just record them at the end of the episode, and we'll substitute them for everything Kieran has to say.
No. Okay, come on, Mike, you've got 3 minutes. Go for it. Rant.
The terrain, the new terrain placement stuff.
That's not a Master thing, that's a Steamroll thing.
Okay, let's talk about...
We were talking about Steamroller, weren't we?
Last in fairness, he did say Steamroller.
Yeah, but I'm just going to give him abuse.
In your face, Kieran.
If you had a camera, you'd see my face right now.
I can see your face. Picture is you fucking sticking your tongue out. It's weird.
That's not what your ma said. What?
Well, that's inappropriate. but no, because I didn't even bother reading the full SR document because I figured that the terrain placement was one of those things that wouldn't change.
And no, then, yeah, that was always a change from the during the beta test. It was worse.
Does not apply to Theme Forces anymore.
Yeah, it used to apply to Theme Forces, so runes got really shafted. I think that was the only one that really, because rec markers aren't terrain, they're.
Or Harbinger Theme Force.
Oh yeah, the Harbinger Wall Force. Yeah, that's really bad. Actually,
what is the?
So you got two types of terrain, restrictive and unrestrictive.
Okay.
So unrestrictive terrain is everything bar linear obstacles and obstructions.
Yeah.
And then restrictive terrain is just your linear obstacles and obstructions. Obstacles are sitting in limbo and have essentially been forgotten by Private Press. Thank fuck, because they're the most annoying pieces to play.
Those
are
the ones we had the fucking PowerPoint presentation.
It was a simple 3-slide 20-minute presentation.
It was unreal. There's a reason people don't use those terrain pieces.
I mean, really, it should have been done during the mayor's speech at WBC.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that actually, have you got the mayor of Killarney to do a speech?
I'm going to try. it may be me in a wig. We'll see this.
I'll do it. I'll totally fucking do it.
But essentially, so you have unrestricted terrain can be placed anywhere on the board, and it can be placed within 2 inches of any other piece of terrain.
I feel like the obvious explanation is that we have to have the reigning king introduce the MVGC.
Oh, fuck, we do.
We just have King Yaka do it. I mean, he's been so good.
Give him a sheet. Give him a sheet in Irish.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Get him his potato crown. Have him
read it out. That'd be fantastic. We have to do that.
I feel like I'm just not going to crown a new king this year. King Yaka is so much fun.
Technically, we never crowned him. It was organic process that led to a king.
What else about Steamroller, Mike? Are you excited about the objectives?
Yeah, actually. It was one of the parts in the beta that I was like the only person that played in Stu's little beta test tournament that actually really liked them. The only problem was that the Arcane Wonder needed nerf, but they did that, so it's fine.
Why do you think it needed nerfing?
Well, it's because it wasn't specifically off-key spells before, was it?
It was not offensive spells.
Yeah, and there are certain spells that, like...
It was kind of busted as fucking Kador, as it was, and now it's not very good.
Why?
3 cost signs importance. It lets Sorsha boost Freezing Grips because you can Wind Rush for 1.
Not Freezing Grips.
But you can Wind Rush for
1. Oh, sorry. Right. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
So she gets 1 on the Wind Rush and then.
Okay.
So she Wind Rushes forward, boosts Freezing Grip, and then walks back.
Okay. So I never saw that.
Yeah, like, there are just like dark casters. I just absolutely love the idea of non offensive.
Yeah.
And it kind of ended the whole thing with Vlad. I guess, in fairness, it's a bit of an outdated Mark 1 thing, but the fact that they couldn't play Kings and Wind Signs Portents anymore.
Blood of Portents. It's the old Mark 1 thing. Blood of Portents
again.
That was amazing.
And then could, a couple Kador things like that.
Could Gorshe do his...
he gets Shadowmancer.
Shadowmancer Mage Blade. Oh, man, it's Mark 1 all over again.
Yeah, a bunch of that shit.
There's a reason for that to be changed, yes. So I agree with you, man.
What did it used to do?
It was -1 cost non-offensive spells.
Oh, nice. To 1 non-offensive, was it?
1 non-offensive spell. Yeah. And it's also for like any model activating...
It's still that.
So, yeah.
It's any model casting a spell.
Yeah, cost 1...
But like, there...
Cost 1 Crusader's Call, I like it. Mm. You know? So now it's
upkeep spells. But the problem is offensive upkeep spells.
Yeah, Calamity is so much better.
Yeah, that's the thing though. Like the nerf to Kador now becomes
it's a huge buff.
It's a boon to Troll Bloods or
fucking Crippling Grasp gets it now.
I think having it as a friendly spell is pretty good, but maybe had it just, I don't know.
Be interesting to see. I guess some of the positioning for it is interesting as well because it can be a bit out of the way. I played a scenario where they were in fucking nowhere today.
It is a nice stealth buff to upkeep casters, so like Centurion, Mordekaiser, and then that would suffer from purification, so it's kind of helps them slightly.
Yeah, and do they go in the same place as the regular objectives?
Yeah, so when you're building a list, you choose an objective, and that becomes, anytime you play that list and there's objectives in that scenario,
it's just each objective you include in that list.
Yeah,
cool.
And so you've got 8 scenarios, 4 of them have objectives. Then they're either placed center, off center, up, or down, depending on where the scenarios. It's really good.
I've been really struggling to figure out which one to pick for Kaedor, because in beta test, it was obvious. It was Arcane Wonder basically all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm just like, I don't know which one I want. I kind of went for the cover one that grants Fear.
That's pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah.
Although I kept playing scenarios that either didn't have objectives. We didn't play these scenarios today, but they didn't have objectives, or the one where it's in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, that's so that like, they've moved up enough that it's hard to actually do anything with them.
Yeah, it is that kind of thing. I guess the mom talked about it already, where like you don't want to depend on them for your list.
Right.
But they're nice to have kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think Bunker is like my go to objective.
Oh, Bunker's brilliant.
It's so dumb in Trolls.
It's even more dumb in Lucant.
Yeah.
You can't get near this and you can't shoot it. Good day.
Lucant shoot it.
Where's the more chip?
Yes.
Okay, anything else in Steamroll then?
He's not
thinking I've noticed. Those are two pretty big changes that you were just willing to breeze on by.
What I was trying to say is that I don't care about your opinion, but I was trying to do it subtly.
I see. Yeah. Fuck you.
I'm sick of your lip.
And its elegant mustache.
Significantly less Prussian, but.
All right. So, next topic. WTC team for USA has been announced. Both teams have been announced. Team Stars and Stripes.
Which is shout out to Per Nordlund.
Yes,
who came up with the name
Per?
Did he?
Per? Yeah.
Is it Per?
Per.
Per. It's spelled par.
Par.
It's spelled par, but it's pronounced similar to Per.
Oh yeah.
But there's subtleties there that we don't get it because we're barbarians.
Of course.
Cajun scum.
Yeah.
So when he came up to me at the Iron Mood and I was like, "That's subpar," and yeah, he didn't laugh.
he just twizzled his amazing mustache.
He did.
Converted a scorn model.
And I was knocked clean across the room.
He messaged the Team USA guys last year and said that clearly their teams should be Team Stars, Team Stripes.
Because what, the year before, what were they?
Team USA, blue and red.
Yeah, and we didn't have a clue which one was which.
No.
It's the same that the Australians should be like Team Wallaby and Team Criminal.
Yeah, no, Team Kangaroo and Team
Fosters.
Dingo Ate My Baby.
Team Fosters and Team Castlemaine 4.
Team Kiwi. Yeah.
It's funny, don't have a Kiwi team, actually. There are players.
Some of the earth.
Kiwi's not that nice.
It's not true, though. They seem lovely, yeah.
Kiwis are nice because they're not Australian.
I mean, well.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Didn't need to be said, really.
I know, but we need to reinforce it.
I know.
We love you, Kiwi land.
Fuck Australia.
Fuck you, Trent Anderson.
Yeah. The potato curse worked this time.
Oops, you're all right.
Potato curse worked. Potato curse worked.
It did. Yeah. It's a glorious thing.
Yes. Yes. Fuck you, Trent.
Don't go Billy Crookshanks.
So, on Team Stars is Will Pagani.
Cunt.
Ryan Chiriboga.
Cunt.
Jake Van Meter.
Beautiful cunt.
Oh, so good.
Brian White.
Serious cunt.
And Tom Guan.
Asian cunt. Good team. It's a pretty good team. and it's everyone bar Jake Van Meter could possibly play Crix. Can they get JVM to play infantry?
JVM playing Crix apparently is the worst thing. I can see it too. If they could
teach him to play more Nebra, maybe.
But then what's Tom Guan playing?
Tom Guan would play whatever. He'd play Gorshe 3.
Yeah, so.
But like, he has to play two casters, Giron.
Yeah, but you don't have to play them. It's DNC 0.
So, you can play whatever he wants. Will is playing Circle.
Will can play whatever the hell he wants.
I know.
He was playing Convergence up until the day of the list submission. Decided to go, so.
He did play Crix in the invitation.
But Bradley's
probably Circle, unless Bradley's gets his proper nerf.
Maybe.
Ryan Chiriboga's playing Crix.
Yeah.
Jake Van Meter playing Legion.
More than likely.
Brian White. Probably playing Manoth.
Crix or Manoth.
Could be, but yeah.
Tom Guan, probably Crix.
Or.
Is he playing Circle?
Rhett, he's playing at the moment.
I have to make a faction for him.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Possibly. It's a fairly strong team.
Yeah. Team Stripes.
Before we move on, I think we've got to look at the easiest way to take this team down. If you want to take down Will Pagani, you just get Stu to put him in the headlock. If you want to take out Ryan Chiriboga, he's a pretty tall guy. Let's go with Dick Punch for the moment. Jake Van Meter.
Craig Conroy did tell us and had some good Dick Punch and advice to WTC.
Yeah.
Jake Van Meter. Bucket of paint above a door. He'll have to go and adjust his hair for the rest of the weekend.
No. But, whiskey in the eyeballs.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Brian White. oh, we start the game.
Get him tank before he's declared prey. Get him tank with Jerry and have him go in the
woods.
No,
before declare prey, we got him.
Oh, yeah, just take away. Just don't let him declare anything.
Yeah, Tom Guan.
Every time he declares it, you ship the clock to yourself and be like, I'm sorry, it's my turn.
Yeah, Tom Guan will just say he's some sort of.
Just put him in a box.
Stolen child and get him deported.
He's little, put him in a box.
Yeah, I think that's how, this is how you beat it. This is the proper Stars. Yeah.
Sorry, everyone. Do you often deport lost and stolen children?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
If we pretend some...
I'm sorry, you've been stolen.
Yes. If we have any sort of suspicion that a traveling family have taken hold of this child, they will be taken off them.
It was fucking dreadful. There was actually a case.
It was horrendous.
This family.
In fairness, so you can kind of understand it. It's horrendous, but it's understandable.
There had been a case in the UK with an actual case of child abduction.
I'm surprised you're leaving this in.
But I'm not going to leave this in. I'm just telling Mike. by this
Romani
gypsy family, right? And then in Dublin, there was like another reported case, because basically someone had heard about this and was like, oh, I always thought that child next door didn't look like it belonged to that family.
Yeah, the reason in I think it was in England, was it? Or
yeah, it was in England.
This child was a very blonde, blue-eyed child, and traditional Romani family, so dark skin, black hair. So it was obviously the child that kind of stood out. So they found out the DNA tests and it wasn't their child, so they ended up taking it back off them. And then the same thing happened over here of a traveller family where they were all black hair and this child had blonde hair and it was reported. And then another traveller family got reported and it's just the children were taken off them instantly and it was,
it was dreadful. And
after the NHS, it was their children. It was just, it's horrible. Yeah, it's such a clusterfuck.
On the basis of people who twitched their net curtains, basically. It was the worst thing.
It was such an over, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Speaking of stolen children.
Yeah, absolutely. But there we go. Like,
that's racial profile. Perfect.
So all we need is a few flat caps, some carpet samples, and just stand near Tom Guan and he gets kidnapped.
Yeah. That's not your child.
Maybe like, what?
So Team Stripes, we have Jay Larson as captain. Do you have Jeremy Lee?
God, Jackson Cunt.
Mike Perrier.
Oh, amazing.
The best. Love that guy.
Michal Opara-Hertig, excuse me. Brandon Keating.
Seems like a nice guy, but probably a cunt.
And Brian Marino.
Yeah, he is Brian Marino.
Yeah, Brian Marino.
I don't know anything.
Who I've never heard of, but he's probably related to Dan Marino, right?
Yeah, I was about to say he has some sort of incident with Tyler Worth and
so, ex-Miami Dolphin, Brian Marino.
And trailing behind, we have ever the bridesmaid, Trevor Christensen, not making another thing that he was trying to get onto.
Oh.
Poor Trev.
Sorry, Trev.
Oh, snap.
Well, guess you're just going to have to stream shit. What? And you know what that means? I'm not playing either, so I'm going to annoy the shit out of you.
Yeah. So please. what does Jay actually play? Does he play?
Jay plays Signar. He plays trolls. Yeah, I'd say he plays Signar.
Probably Signar.
Yeah.
Mm. Jeremy Lee.
He plays Convergence Grace. And Kator.
Plays Grace.
Convergence.
I also play Convergence, but you haven't played Grace.
No,
you
played Kator.
That was Kurt played Kator last year. Jeremy played Grace.
I thought Jeremy played.
Sure that Kurt was the only Kator player. Not Maybe. So cool, Kurt.
Maybe I'm just thinking not so cool people and getting too confused.
I think he plays cowboy hat.
He plays giant cowboy hat. Anyone that wears a giant hat at WTC is an absolute moron.
And a national stereotype and a shame to their country.
Mickey P plays Menoth.
Yes.
He's been playing Zirko recently.
Yeah.
Has he?
He's
mm-hmm.
He's glorious piece.
Actually, yeah, because Brandon Keating won... The War Machine.
War Machine Weekend Invitation.
With Menoth.
With Menoth.
So he plays Menoth and Legion.
Oh.
Because he played back in when he, the first sort of thing he was at, he was the old IG final at Lock and Load for the first one was against Keith and he was playing Kallus and 2-2, I think. So he plays Legion as well.
Oh, IG.
Yeah, the old IG.
Kallus and 2-2 was like brain melting.
And Brian Marino.
Kallus is OP with Choir Man.
Yeah. Brian Marino is playing Dolphins.
He's playing bad kicking.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know, was there any controversy over the votes here, Stu?
Yeah, it was hugely controversial.
Yeah.
Thousands
Excuse me, I put a legitimate application in there, and my votes, my application wasn't even put up, my resume.
No, right. It was a complete sham, I read that on Twitter.
Absolute jam.
You submitted an application.
Oh yes,
it's amazing. It's pretty great. Although it was not as good as Chili's application, in fairness.
I think mine was better, though. Chili put more effort into it.
did you see what Chili's was?
No.
It was a link to a YouTube video. I'll shake it off.
I love his post after where he said that his it was a complete sham because his resume had over 5 million views. And not a single vote.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Brian /
it should be in their resumes on the WZ USA website.
Oh yeah, we're gonna find out what this fella plays.
Resumes. We're gonna talk about Brian Marino, a guy we don't know.
So who got to vote in this again?
Everyone that had won a invitational, won a Masters or a
invitational qualifier or a IG.
IG, yeah.
Were they still calling them citizens?
Yeah, I think they were.
Did they decide against that?
Legion. He's a Legionier.
Legion player. Scum of the earth.
What a dick.
Jeremy Lee, look it up.
Let's see, what does Jeremy mean?
There was a guy called Michael Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
He's coming to the Irish Masters.
He's coming to the Irish Masters.
Oh, awesome.
Which I know from his resume.
I was right on one convergence. Ha.
And Cricks.
Yeah.
And it's above convergence. Cricks there, second one.
That's just alphabetical.
No, Kira. No, it's not.
Yeah, inverted.
I mean, it is actually reverse alphabetical, which you could have gone
before. Is Chili Winters the one just...
Yeah, because he sees YouTube, I think. Brilliant.
Sorry, we'll keep playing it.
I'll be out too late. This bit is just for Chili.
For you, Chili.
This is not even the first time we talked about Take It Off on one.
Hold on.
Okay, so you just edit in the complete Take It Off there, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
This is true. Okay.
Back to the episode.
This would be a perfect time to look up Taylor Swift in her underwear.
No, well, don't give him his phone back.
I got it right there.
Actually, you do. Yeah.
Doing God's work.
She's a good looking woman.
Chili.
She is.
Fine woman.
But I'd say, actually, this is just going back to what we were saying earlier when we were wondering about tournament lists. The amount of tournament lists that we have on Discount Games, like,
I know.
There's a shit fuck ton. Like, that's if you have access to that database, just look at casters, rank them.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. So, Mike, how is Team NI selection going?
Well, it's. I don't know why you didn't have Adam on to talk with us, considering he's the team captain this year, and it's on him. The onus is on him to choose the team. Thank fuck.
As last year's embittered captain, I presume that you are, you know, involved.
I assume you're judging his decisions at all times.
Yeah.
Well, I'm judging everyone at all times. Mm-hmm. So, but no, it's good. I mean, it was just really, really awesome to have more than 5 people interested in the team this year. You know, we have enough. There are 12 people, I think.
And yeah, actually have people from Northern Ireland this time, as opposed to scrubs coming up.
Oh, you. No, yes, we do.
Yeah, no, we don't.
We've all had a few laughs.
I'm still in contention.
How many people have you actually got applied?
12.
12, oh, brilliant. I can't remember. I haven't counted, but I think Adam had mentioned it was 12.
Yeah.
Is Adam captain, is he?
He is, yeah. Okay. Voted him in last year, so he's the one that has to actually make decisions.
Is it going to be decided by dance off?
Or at least a harmonica off?
No, he's taking it seriously. You know, it's probably, he actually has a spreadsheet and everything. With
spreadsheets.
But is harmonica onyx like part
harmonic
of the
onyx?
Yeah. That's what I imagine the Adam Foxford from Being Good at Harmonica is.
The harmonics on this guy is amazing.
Carly is saying chain attack. Is Scott Ray going to be on your team?
I mean, I say thinking seriously in the spreadsheet with numbers, but it is Adam, so there is a column for whimsy. So
column for whimsy.
Yes, that's where I'm a Viking.
Whimsy, astronomical. I'm rooting for Scott, right? I think he's got a
spot. Yeah, we had like whenever like 12 people had expressed interest in the team, like Adam and I were both being like, sweet, this means there's actually going to be a competition.
Yeah.
To get on the team, which is really good because we didn't have that last year. And
so much so that Adam is sort of against the idea of having more than one team NI team.
He's not alone in that. Like I said, I was in the same boat. I was like, well, if we don't have two teams, it means people will actually have a motivation to try really hard to get on the first team, and that means we're going to try and get people playing up here more often, which is the biggest downfall of up here. Is there are people who play, but not often enough to, you know, improve like a lot. It still happens, but it happens slowly because they don't play the games. And then we were kind of, obviously we have no right to stop a second even happening. If people wanted to go in for it, that's what the website and stuff is for. But then fucking King War Machine Norbert posted on the Facebook page, that's enough for two teams. And so, and thus it happened.
Remember, Norbert's ever the politician.
Oh yeah, definitely. He swooped in, laid the seeds, and then flew away.
No, as that martini drinking bastard does.
But like I said, we have no right to try and stop a second team, and it probably is good. It's just I don't know if it's going to stop people from trying that much harder to try and get on the first team if they know that they can probably make a second team. I don't know.
But the counter to that argument is that you look at when, like, we went over 2 years ago, we came back saying this was fucking amazing, this was brilliant. And the amount of people that kind of went, oh, we hadn't, like, we, most of us were all like, yeah, we couldn't be arsed going to it. And we came back saying this thing was amazing. And then look at the amount of people that wanted to go to it afterwards, that it drummed up interest and it drummed up people going, yeah, actually, I want to go to this and I want to not do shit at this, so I want to play a bit more. So there is always that angle of you could try.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's getting people to play more games. So it obviously it is a good thing. It's just for the longest time, because we didn't have any competition for the team last year, you know, it was five people said they were interested and one of them dropped out, you know. So it was just, we were like, I guess we're being selfish and just trying to get a good bit of competition going. But there is still a competition. There's the qualifying event that was last week, and there's another one at the end of February, and then I think the last...
At the same time as SmogCon, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And then the final place where Adam will be judging people's places and play styles and stuff will be the Irish Masters.
And teams, yeah.
The first team will be confirmed from there, and then John Foster was voted as the captain of Team 2.
That's Southerner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's moving down to Dublin, which is perfect.
Yeah. Get rid of him.
So it's Team Harmonica and Team Ireland's Hat.
Yes, pretty much. He's team captain of 2, and I'm not sure how he's going to then, if he wants to use the same data that Adam's sort of been putting together to choose who gets on Team 2 or what. But that's up to him, I suppose.
Yeah. Grand. I can get to John Foster.
I think we should go to the second qualifier with, like, hats and moustaches and...
Well, I'm going anyway because I'm in contention.
Look, all right.
Yeah. Day day.
Here if you lie about who you are.
Day lay lay situation.
Are you actually playing in the Irish Masters at any point, Siski?
No.
No, okay. Because we were talking about it earlier on today about how many people are playing in the three different, like, actual organized tournaments, or four, including the NI Masters.
Yeah. I'm playing in Scrambles. And I'm gonna
Scramble.
I know. I'm running Scrambles. And I'll try and play as much as I can to, you know, make it easier for you guys to pick me and not look like it's collusion. You know.
Well, there's probably at least one. The 8-man scrambles you can play in, you know, it's that kind of thing.
True that.
Because Adam will be
Stu's shaking his head going, he's not playing in none.
I'm training him to death.
Just cracking the whip in the background.
Nice. I think the Irish team is kind of the same. We're looking at, we have some people kind of highlight for it, but I think the Irish Masters is going to be the last kind of tournament to kind of see.
How is the Southern team selection actually going to work? Because I know... Because yourself and Jerry are...
Yeah, there's five people on the selection committee, two captains, myself, Jerry, and Owen. So for anyone listening, the way the Southern Ireland team has been selected, we've got captains are voted from the previous team, they stay on, and then basically, if you can find people who are part of the playing group but won't be playing the next year, I'm kind of choosing to pick the teams for next year. So Siski helped pick last year's team to a point until he decided to collude with the foreigners.
I'm right here.
Yes, I'll call you a foreigner too.
You are Prussian after all.
Right? Yes.
Well,
the most of all foreigners.
Your country doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah, take that, Australasia.
Damn it, foiled again. By the march of time.
A mere 144 years afterwards.
The emperor lives on.
Yeah, so it's the two captains, two people who are having children or have had children.
Are running the Masters. Yeah. It's two captains and three people that are running the WTC.
Yeah. So, it's good. You're going to pick a good team, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Final deadlines and stuff for when the teams will be named? Or?
Irish Masters will be the last kind of major selecting. Yeah. SmogCon and Irish Masters are kind of the two last kind of main data points that we'll get.
From have you got people who've already like applied for it and they're the ones you're looking at, or are you just looking
there was
expressed interest really soon after the
there was about 30 people that are 20-30 people that had expressed interest in it, and I think it was cut back a few months ago based on just
if you hadn't done anything you got
I think that was it. I'm not sure what the last state is, but there's anyone that hadn't played any events up to that point was cut from it.
So you guys are doing Team Cork, Team Dublin, right? That's the best way to divide it up.
Team Cork, Team Cavan.
The two strongest metas in Ireland at the moment.
Owen Back and Stuart
Meir. The amount of games they play down in Cavan is unreal. He's whipped them into shape in the last year. Unreal. It really is.
Good stuff. Well, yeah, I suppose Phil needed a meta that he didn't need to travel 2 hours to get to.
Yeah, he created a fantastic one. Like,
yeah, fair enough.
Mm.
If you build it, they shall come.
Yeah.
What I'm implying there is that Phil built Stuart.
Yeah. I've got this collection of old 40k models. I put enough of them together, they'll play War Machine.
Give them a Scottish accent. Scottish, yeah. It's weird. Yeah.
The accent is just, you know.
It's come as you put enough Ultramarines in one place.
Yeah. That's right, the Rutgers got it. So WTC is going to be good. When is it? September?
September something.
Well said, lead organizer.
Yes. When did you say, Mike?
Pardon?
When is it?
I think it's the weekend of the 27th of September.
I think it's the week before that now. I think they moved it.
No, it was the last week, so my calendar is not working.
It's Saturday. It's the weekend of the 18th, 19th.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, thanks, foreigner.
Damn it, Kira.
No problem, lead organizer.
Technically, Jerry's the lead organizer, and he's brilliant at doing stuff.
Co-lead organizer.
To Jerry. Very active for a corpse.
Yeah, good work, Mike. Good work.
And I had to flick my glass. A little behind the scenes tech for you there.
Don't take up the veil, Mike.
Jerry and Owen are running around like lunatics organizing this. Jerry has contacts everywhere. He's going to. It's unreal. Oh, I don't get this.
So is food provided and everything?
Yes,
like
there
like
will
the
be
same?
Food, accommodation, a roof over your head while you play. Bar will be open late. We've got...
How late?
I think we were told as long as there's no trouble, we'll see what we can do.
So,
wink, nudge, nudge.
The time the Finns show up, then.
Yeah. Until Hermione shows up naked after being thrown out of the sauna, probably.
Cool.
We're also going to have like people, like I think we have dedicated tech support, dedicated... audio vision AV guys there for it, so like they're
will they be able to rewrite the tournament software when we get to a new round?
That's what the Blaublam does. Blaublam's like, I will write it new. That's how he talks.
Yeah,
he also throws racial slurs at you while he does it.
Yeah. He writes the racial slurs into the code.
Yeah, so I'm going down whether or not I qualify, just hanging around like a bad smell.
Oh, we'll find it out for you.
wasted.
You could be Hermione's chauffeur.
How is the... There is a solo message as well, isn't there?
There will be, yeah.
Yeah, how is that working out? Is it...
We haven't made an official announcement on it, but okay. we are looking to do something special with this. We're just trying to finalize what we can do first. So once we have proper announcement, that we will send it. But yeah. We will be doing at least what we did last year.
Mm. And that's also a
and it'll be Beer Machine the whole way.
Invitational.
Oh, yeah. Beer Machine is the only thing that is definitely going ahead. If all else fails, it's a 500-man Beer Machine event.
Excellent. So, all right, folks, the finals we played with Harry's birthday rules.
Amazing. And we're done. Team China's like, no.
100 stayed in Killarney.
Have Team China applied this year?
I don't know. Yes, I haven't seen them.
Because I see that they're looking for a Team Pan Asia.
Yeah, I guess it's just basically trying to get the weird. Like, you only get very small metas. Most of the Japanese players are all ex.
A lot of them are military, US military. But there's a couple actual Japanese players as well. And there's a couple out of Singapore as well.
Yeah.
So and have we got any African teams?
Not that I'm aware of. I'm sure you could find someone that plays.
Sundowner plays South Africa. There's a couple.
Yeah. There's a lot of players in New Zealand. You get Cohen. You've got Mexican players. You've got there's a lot of metas in different countries. It's just trying to convince them to come over. So if you could start off with if you're from this continent and you would like to come over, you can form a team. Then use that this year, the next year, find make it to it.
Yeah. There's a decent few scattered around South and Central America.
Yeah, with 52 teams last year.
Yeah, about that.
So if we can add more to that, like that was missing. There was only one Scottish team. That was no Wales team. There was no nothing from South America. Only one from Asia. We missed out on the United Arab Emirates. I think there was meant to be a Dubai team.
Right.
But they were all expats, but
yeah.
They were coming over as a team. So there are a lot of places that were interested in sending teams.
Mm.
So if we can convince them to come over, it'd be great.
It'd be awesome.
We could fit 64 teams in
as well.
Yeah. Yeah. What were you saying, Mike?
I know there was Team United Nations last year. I know that was a kind of a last minute thing to make sure there were even teams.
Yeah.
Is that still an option, or did they get to apply because they were already a team last year?
No, the reason for that was Team Wales dropped out pretty much last minute, so in order to avoid a bye, we try and find it. I think if it ends up being an odd number of players, we could see the return of it. But if it's an even number, it wouldn't be something we'd like to encourage, because you just end up with another odd number of players. So
yeah,
it depends on the number. That's something you could relatively easily get. Because you have enough people, Ireland's very easy to get to, and you have a lot of people coming over for solo masters anyway. So you could definitely assemble teams to be buybusters. Not by the way, to even the numbers out.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Cool. Just double checking. Because captain, I know, it was kind of a weird situation last year, so.
Yeah, it was a bit.
Mm.
That was because the last minute thing, though.
Yeah.
Fucking Welsh people, man, alright?
Yeah.
Wales. Who goes there?
Sheepfuckers. Nailed it.
Boom. Legitimately racist.
And amazing singers, though. Let's bring it back up. Let's be positively racist.
Yeah. Let's be positive racist.
Yes. Yeah.
And
the best kind of racist.
And their claymation firefighters are best bar none.
Fondy.
Yeah.
I was really confused there. I've never heard firefighter. Did fireman? I would have got it.
Ah, yeah.
Ooh, massive misogynist. It's not fireman anymore. It's not PC. It's firefighter.
It's fireman.
Same way you can't have postman, it's postfighter.
Postfighter.
And you can't call them mailmen anymore.
Female woman.
It has to be gender of your choice fighter.
Gender of your choice deliverer.
So Irish Masters is coming up soonish.
March 27th, 29th.
You knowing the dates of your tournament.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so Stu, you're head organizer.
Yep.
So what's going to be on offer?
Tournaments. Beer.
Excellent.
Well, God, man.
Yeah, right.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Taking place in the Montclair Hotel, just off Clare Street in Dublin 2. And I'll be running scramble tournaments. So if you haven't managed to get into one of the, you know, steamroller,
schmancy qualifiers,
or hardcore, or whatever or qualifiers on one of the days,
wake up on time for one.
Yes, yes. So if you, yes, one or yes. the other, I'll be there, can in hand, I imagine, ready to sign you up for an eight.
We'll have a proper bar.
Yeah, it's gonna be dangerous if we can actually drink this legitimately, yeah. as opposed to knacker drink at this.
Oh, God, the knacker drinking was so stressful though, because the guards knew who I was.
Yeah.
I remember standing between one of the guards and Martin as Martin was just like necking some vitamins.
In previous years, the Irish Masters were run at a college board game
auditorium,
at which there was officially meant to be no food or drink. So when we had a combination of the both in the alcoholic gummy bears and also Martin Hornacek with his poorly disguised hoard of alcohol.
Yeah, there was a lot of alcohol.
You didn't even fucking brown bag it after a point. Yeah. God damn it.
No.
Well, it's in the year before I had the bullet.
What was it? Southern Comfort.
Southern Comfort just sitting up on my army tray.
Drank so much of it.
Yeah, so.
I got really huggy.
This year will be in a hotel, which has its own bar, and which we
legitimately
are
allowed to drink.
The bar will be open.
Yes. So, and it'll be, you know, 4 or 5 times the price of some other countries, but, you know.
cheaper than Norway.
I'm thinking we'll organize a night out somewhere to try and get, like, some cheaper pints and have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Just book out a place in the Gingerman, see if we can get it for free if we bring 100 people or something.
Yeah. Should be. There's nothing on that weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depends how far really. Like the walk versus booze ratio has to be good.
Gingerman is literally around the corner.
It's around the corner, but they tend to charge for their space, so we'll see.
We'll see.
The most important thing with Masters this year is it's not the same weekend as the rugby, so hotels are actually available.
Yep. Yeah. And affordable.
Yeah.
Not the Montclair now.
No,
God, that's not available or affordable.
Where is everybody staying? It's on Pierce Street.
The Pierce Hotel or something. It's the Holiday Inn on Pierce Street.
Yeah, a lot of Swedes are staying there, so avoid it.
Yeah,
and then like all the Corconians are staying there, like Norbert's staying there, so,
yeah,
you know, burnt to the ground.
Norbert's staying there with us.
Oh yeah, he was emailing me saying, "I need somewhere to sleep." His hotel Bulger's booked up.
I'm sure you fit more. Maybe doesn't actually mind.
She'd let.
I have a spare room going if anyone wants it. Any of our listeners, Josh Simpson, it's for you.
It's for Josh Simpson.
All the listeners.
It's for nobody else. Fuck the rest of you.
Yeah.
It's for Josh.
Alex Shaver. Alex Shaver, you fucker, come over.
It's for both of you. You guys can spoon.
J.R. Shaver Aldrich.
Yeah.
J.R. and Alex.
Yeah.
I was shocked when their Twitter account
Mike?
Separate.
Sorry?
What were you toasting?
I wasn't toasting.
Ah. Very good. Speaking of more drink.
More drink time.
Nice.
Oh, we should probably give a shout out to the... Your professor Lust for inexplicably providing us with yet more bourbon.
Once again, this episode is sponsored by Matthew Lust.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like at this point, it's legitimately a sponsorship. Like,
it really is. It is our only sponsorship. We should start the
Our selection today.
Yeah. Actually, you need to record, like, a fucking...
Yeah,
we'll
do that
without
the
ask.
horribly awkward promo.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. It's Siski at the top of the podcast. I do this every week, but for some reason, I'm still terrible at it.
If you like miniatures,
if you like bourbon, you should hang out with Matthew Lust.
But the worst was the one when they came back after being off air for 6 months. Like, I'm not really sure if we're still sponsored by Discount Games, but if we're not, fuck it, they're good anyway.
That's called being a shill, Alex. You're being a shill. All right. Yeah. So we're just cleaning up. We're cleaning up.
I'm cleaning Kieran's wood. They're polishing my hunk of wood.
Yeah. Kieran has an incredibly expensive looking bog oak table. It's got a big crack in it though, Kieran. What's that?
I just set it back. I legitimately had a bench on that side that had like beetles living in it and like fucking eating it. I just sent it back like, yeah, we have to destroy this.
It could have been worse. It could have been eels. I got
eels.
A chair once that had eels living in it.
How?
I don't know. I don't know, Stu. It's probably not true, but anyway.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Next thing I knew, there were eels everywhere.
Yeah. Took my eye off the ball for 1 minute.
Eels, man.
Eels, man.
My fucking eels.
Yeah,
fuck James Morehouse.
Fuck James Morehouse. Oh my god, can we do like an actual live edition of What I Learned in the Forums?
I haven't read the forums very often.
Oh, come on, you have to read the whole con shit. What's going on?
Bring it for me.
I couldn't be arsed.
It's fucking, this Kira Zero's page is open right goddamn here.
So essentially, you have a very high ranking player that wins all of his matches bar two at CanCon, which is a fairly prestigious
this
event.
This is the fucking Bakemono shit, isn't it? Yeah, I'm reading this. It's going to be good.
Oh, it's ridiculously. But he goes on. So you take it for one. He's a prestigious player. He wins a lot of games. He's won a lot of things in the past. And he did quite well at that weekend. He only lost two games the entire
weekend.
Like a
zebra.
He looks like some sort of munchkin idiot.
he really does.
But the person playing the caster is saying...
The judgment-free podcast.
Unless you're Australian.
I think you're thinking of the other one.
this is what I don't get. You've got a person who's complaining about the caster they're playing being too broken. Whatever people who's played against them having a rage quit kind of moment saying that this guy is too powerful, you have to nerf him. This is the guy playing the caster saying he's too powerful because of X, Y, and Z. And people then saying, no, he's not. You lost with them. Your opinion doesn't count. And that's the essence of the story. Even when the person who's played against him saying the only reason he didn't win was because he rolled below average. In the most ridiculous setup for a game, people are still saying, no, he didn't run every game. Therefore, he's not broken.
Well, right. Steamroller is super stale because of its scenarios that force people to the middle of the board.
Yeah.
The game was much better.
When gun lines
didn't have any scenarios, and we played only caster kill.
Yes, because Kane 1 never did any shit like that.
You know what I seriously miss? Obviously, is the old scenario that was Killbox. When Killbox wasn't a rule in other scenarios, it was a scenario unto itself.
Yes.
And it was the only way there was Killbox. And I always announced it as the last round because I was lazy and wanted to go home.
It's the easiest. Again, then that became Mosh Pit, or is it Kane Hill?
Mosh Pit, what a scenario.
This is the logic I don't understand from the forums. Someone says what they've been playing is stupid because of X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
The person they played against said they agree because of the same X, Y, and Z. And people are saying, no, you're both wrong because he didn't win every game. And the reason he didn't win the game was dice.
Also, it was really offensive. I just want to say Billy Crookshanks deeply offended me. Like, to my core when he said that James Morehouse was the only good circle player at the event.
Oh, he did.
Like,
yeah.
That was just... there were like three circle players and the other guys all finished in the bottom quarter. Saying that James Morehouse was the only good one at that event is just like, it's taking a big shit on Australia as a country.
Yeah, in fairness, like I give the Australians a lot of abuse and I think they're all criminal scum. But I think there's some somewhat above par circle players there. And I found what Longshank said, that dirty, dirty Englishman, really bad and really offensive.
It's the worst thing since fucking... Falkirk, man. Like, some shit.
Gotcha, huh? Huh? Yeah. Fuckers.
The forums.
Oh, God, they're really bad.
They're so good.
Why is Billy giving people shit about fedoras?
Fedoras are for monsters. Right? Mike, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
I don't know what you're saying. I would disagree with you.
Trilby is the only man's hat.
That's what I was looking for, my Trilby hat up there. It's up there somewhere.
No.
There's actually the idea.
I have a much too big a head for any hats, so I'm just embittered for the whole thing.
Alright, big head syndrome. I'm there with you, bro.
Mm.
I've got a perfectly fine Trilby at home.
Our pith helmets fit alright.
Okay, you can
beat
that
be good. It's going to be good. But me and Stu are going to War Machine Weekend this year. We're going to be touring around the states wearing pith helmets with mustaches.
Oh, gosh, wrong mustache.
Hey, excuse me, dear fellow.
I say,
fellow. Tell me the name of that mountain over there, will you? I want to put it on my map. That's it. That's it for this podcast. Forever. I'm calling it here.
Sorry, guys, I ran it forever.
We're going to beat Kieran to death with his trilby, and then we're never going to speak again.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first we had a weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah. Of course, we have a corpse on hand. Plenty of string. And a beach
house. Look for us at TempleCon. We're just going to blow it all and go to TempleCon with Kieran's dead body.
Yeah, we're going to
I want to die and become the TempleCon. Weekend at TempleCon.
Before we finish, predictions for TempleCon. What do you think is going to be the big announcement this year? Mike.
Why did you start with me first?
Because we don't have anything, Mike.
You're the ideas man, Mike.
I don't know. I literally have no idea. They're going to announce something to do with War Machine and or Horde at TempleCon. Keep an eye out, folks. It's going to happen.
I think it's going to be a War Machine reskin of Consenticle. It's going to be a Kraken and a Negra.
Kraken and Negra.
Oh,
no, it'd be
Otaku the character.
Prometheus. Prometheus and Lilith.
Now, that is better, isn't it?
Now we have to go looking for this bound to be slash fic of War Machine where the Warcaster has sex with their Warjack. Almost certainly, right?
Oh, there's so much. There's got to be a lot of slash fic of Sorsha and Vlad.
Well, I'm not sure that is slash fic. I think that's canon.
The detail of it probably isn't.
It's in no corner somewhere, Kieran. It's bound to be. Nobody ever reads that.
Kane Stryker is probably a big one.
Yeah.
Stryker feels like he's a receiver.
He's got plus four armor, plus five armor.
Yeah, he's prepared for that, you know.
Overcharged.
Kane teleports right before the end.
Skadoosh, God.
He's a gatecrasher, man.
I think that the keynote address at TempleCon is going to be 45 minutes of high command stuff.
Fuck.
15 minutes of level 7. Another 45 minutes of Bodgers. And then 2 minutes about the new Horde.
No, I'd say it'd be 2 minutes of that Kador Warjack we previewed. At Lock and Load, we decided to not do that. And let's go on to next year.
it'll be the actual sculpts for the Warjacks they released in the
The Grolar. And here we have
the Grolar. Everybody, the Grolar.
But they did have Reliant at War Machine Weekend.
Yeah.
But that was
not for sale, though, did they?
No, I just had a display. And it was.
I didn't even show ADS the others, though.
Of what?
Reliant.
Oh,
the thing, Roger.
Oh, very cool.
They're doing them with the new plastic.
I'd say new Horde faction. I'd say they'll have some extra previews for Reckoning. And they're going to have Orion there. Please have Orion there. Please, Privateer Press, have Orion there.
I'll let you have Orion there.
You can have a ninja.
A ninja?
Someone who buys it for you.
It won't be released, just spoilers of them. Just something to say that we have something new coming out.
What are you hoping Orion will have,
Kieran? His feat, if you go by High Command, his feat is called Obliteration Configuration, which sounds awesome. There was a few people talking about
it. Feels like
a Voltron move.
Yeah, so a lot of people are kind of wondering. To me, it sounds like something, because it's remove enemy model or enemy cards for every friendly card or something like that. So I'm wondering, is it some sort of equivalent to Last Stand for a feat, or something that you destroy your own models to remove other models?
Or maybe like Vindictus's feat, where if models in his control area, friendly models in his control area, enemy models for one damage point.
But it sounds more offensive than
It could be like or sort of like a Gorshade thing where you sacrifice models to blow up to kill other models.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
And what does the art look like?
The artwork is basically it's this really skinny priest dude.
Looks kind of like Vindictus
with four hands, and he has all four hands kind of coming together like this, and like the four hands are kind of like the corners of a square.
Is it like an energy ball?
And this Death Star beam coming out of it, like it looks awesome.
Yeah,
pretty sweet. And he has this weird constellation kind of neck thing.
Cool. He sounds a lot like Vindictus.
It's like
he's got the Vindictus egg shape armor thing going on.
Yeah, maybe it is Vindictus.
I always knew he was a traitor.
Epic Vindictus is Convergence.
Yeah, I wish they do a bit more of that.
People
were not fucking discouraged.
People were kind of wondering.
That's the thing about Convergence things. Yeah, if you put them into Google, all that comes up is car websites.
I know, it's ridiculous. There he is. It's fucking awesome looking artwork and weird constellation shit. The other thing people are thinking of is maybe, and this is a pure wish listing feat, and it'd be amazing. Plus two to hit, plus two damage, and then RFP and destroyed.
That'd be awesome. Well, RP and disabled. That would be amazing.
No.
RP and disabled is OP as fuck.
It'd need to be like Matt and Rat 4.
Well, everyone's thinking he's going to be Rat 6. Because we've nothing but Rat 5.
Rat 6 is really good.
Matt 4, Rat 6. Or Matt 5, Rat 6.
Matt 3, Rat 6. I'll give you that.
if he's strong enough.
I'm negotiating on DCs.
We don't really have a ranged caster.
It'd be Matt 2, Rat 7.
I'll take
Do you have many guns that
Field
really
Marshal,
need to get though?
Which?
Just the damage from Red Line.
Every time they move, they take a T3. What are you saying, Mike?
Do you have I don't know Convergence that well. I think there's no players up here, really. But are there any guns in Convergence or vector guns in here, does it really need to directly hit to do anything?
Yes. They're quite gun. They have the drag guns. They have the monitor's normal gun.
Ground pounder requires direct.
Ground pounder, yeah.
So those all sound like things that kind of to boost a hit seems okay in general because the effects that they have are all fantastic. You know.
Oh yeah, I like it.
Ground pounder.
They're all decent stuff. Like, but things that have been have been talked about by Privateer Press include it was meant to be part of the original release and they decided to pull it out. There is a prototype jack for that Centurion built based on the Assimilator, I think.
That's kind of like their
the ground pounder jack, I think.
But they're like character equivalents.
Is that current? Like, yeah, they would be prototypes. DC did talk about one jack or one PPPPPPP podcast. So there are potentials for other jacks coming out, but I think all convergence players just want to have higher than RAF 5 for once, and 6 I think would be brilliant.
Right, so the boss, man. Would it be autonomous and like?
No, they're
different stats.
Just
different abilities.
Different abilities, yeah. So you still have the induction.
It'd be like FA character. Special abilities.
Yeah.
But would it have its own stats or would it still be...
It still require the caster stats.
You never know. Like, you could have a jack coming out that takes the caster stats plus
Avatar.
Yeah, you could have some weird things. Or like the house shield.
Jacks. Algebra on their cards for stats, like X plus one.
You've seen the Transfinite Emergence Predictor, haven't you? Have you ever seen how try and work out how that fires?
That's their battle engine?
Yeah. I have a proxy base with it written on it which ones where to place things. It's really confusing, but brilliant.
Yeah.
See, that's a question actually, because you guys probably know the answer. See the what's it called? The TP.
Yeah.
The TEP. The way it's Autofire 2, when you buy extra shots of it by putting the servitors.
It goes from Autofire 2 to Autofire 3 rather than 2 Autofire 2s.
That's okay. Close. Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd be just ridiculous.
Shots per one, so you'd get fucking eight sprays or whatever.
Well, regardless of the number of sprays, it would have been better purely because the way Autofire is written is you have to choose your one target and then you have to choose something within 2 inches of it for the rest of the shots. So it limits the number of sprays. If you load everything into the extra rate of fire, which is in the back arc for people, Tim, I'm taking that, and you've got in your up to rate of fire 5, you still have to target something either the original model or something within 2 inches of it. So you can't do a full on like purge kind of thing. You're still limited by your target selection.
Yeah, so you have very limited field of fire.
Oh, okay.
It's awkward, but you can get around it. Like if you can always aim at your own servitors, and it's all simultaneous. Yeah. So if you put something in base to base with yourself, and then another model base to base with yourself, but 2 inches away from the first guy, that means you can still qualify to aim at the other guy, but it gives you a much better arc.
Mm. Cool.
Legit tech. Yeah. There you go. Listeners.
yes. So I think we'll finally see this new Hordes faction.
What do we think it is, though? Well, let's say a random guess. All I'm right. thinking it's Infernals.
It's the zoo, isn't it?
No. I hope not.
You and your zoo hatred, you racist.
I hate zoo. I hate the idea of zoo.
I will pass this to you.
I think it's going to be the zoo. I pass right back.
Oh.
The reason I don't think it's going to be zoo, because people are... First, I hate the idea of it, but a lot of people had had thought that if it was zoo, they'd bring in some sort of jungle team with like insects and stuff like that. But Scorn have gone into that kind of insect realm.
So have the Legion.
Yeah, so it'd be kind of weird. I don't know what they'd come up with. Whereas at least with the Infernals, if you look at the old Monstronomicon version 1, volume 1... It goes into so many different types of infernal creatures, and ranging from lesser size, medium size, war beast size, and it goes into a decent amount of detail in infernal
giants. Creatures.
It's not going to be the giants.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Draconic.
Draconic Alliance is the
Draconic Alliance, right? So it'll be like a mini faction, like Convergence.
Yeah.
So they'll have only so many war beasts, so many units, and everything, but all of them will have all of the warcasters have like a field marshal.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like all of the units would be modular as well. So it'd be like, if your warcaster is this Blightergast dude, you have all.
Yeah, so you're generic dragon spawn, but
yeah,
your Blightergast guy gives them caustic aura or something. You know, yeah.
Awesome, I think it's gonna be awesome. And then like you'll see like blighted humans and stuff as well.
Yeah,
that'll be fun.
That's one that makes
and
more
like,
sense.
Or they'll have like.
I like the idea of units that are act like vectors where depending what caster you take, it affects them, but I don't like the idea of it being another dragon faction. I know dragons are a big thing in Wyrmwood Hordes, but you already have Legion and you already have Krix, and it's just fucking lay off with the dragons already. Seriously.
But the problem is you look at the fluff and that's the biggest thing in the fluff.
Orgoth. Yeah. Orgoth.
they've got circle cephalus. Remember that in Primal?
Yeah, I do remember that.
They've gone on boats. Don't worry, we put a dirty hooker on the boats. They'll all get the pox.
But it'll be the next wave of Warcraft, obviously.
Oh yeah, pox-resistant Warcraft.
if they were to do the zoo and bring in a more jungly kind of thing, I mean, thematically, that's the only thing I can think of that there isn't a faction for already. And you can have stuff where a lot of their base would be more. I know there are plenty of beasts out there that have serpentine as a rule already, but if you were to have more like snake type stuff, or because the beast pack now thing, if they had more than one type of beast pack in the new faction, that were actually good.
That
were
shit. Yeah.
Had rules are well.
Mechanical, like, I don't know, decent. Well, say insect swarms, that's what the swarms of both beast packs are at the minute, but you know what I mean? Just something to differentiate them. I don't know, I think it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Like, I think we're all going to be, like, you know, I think everyone's pretty enthusiastic about new releases when they come out, you know? Like,
oh, definitely.
I was surprised when the Cephalix weren't a Hordes faction.
Yeah, I think
it was. Told it, motherfucker!
You did. And yes. I still think it's the wrong decision. I think, because, I don't like having, there's Warjacks and there's Warbeasts. And there's monstrosities somewhere in the
sense. And Myrmidons and Helljacks.
Well, Myrmidons are Warjacks. It makes sense.
Yeah.
But the same, look, the walls, they Warjacks would probably make more sense to them. But I just think that because the monstrosities, they're plainly giant living monsters. Why not just make them war beasts?
Can they be disrupted? I can't remember.
No.
Yeah.
It's just, I think just aesthetically, the rest of the faction wouldn't fit in with Hordes.
They could have just said that they're warlocks, they're mercenary warlocks.
Touché.
Yeah.
I'm buying dwarves from a friend of mine.
You poor bastard.
He's switching to converters.
Poor bastard.
I feel like we need to just impose a law.
I have owned every faction at some point or another, and I'm continually selling them on. And the more I do it, the more I sort of settle on Hordes, because I have Trolls, Scorn, and Legion, and I had Serf at one point.
Yeah.
And at some point, I'll probably go back to it. But I wanted a War Machine faction so that I could be excited for.
Reckoning.
Book, yeah. I was the same. I wanted a War Machine faction so I wouldn't wouldn't be disappointed every other year. And then I picked Convergence. So I was really excited one year, and now I'm like, oh. my very last confirmed bit of excitement is the end of February when the tech comes out, and then after that it's like, oh, nothing more.
Well, Orion might come out.
Oh yeah, he will come out, but it doesn't just when.
Yeah.
The other thing, actually, speaking of dwarves and Orion, is the dwarf battle engine.
Oh yeah,
what the fuck,
speed 3.
Just like our favorite squad war beast.
Yay.
Is it advanced battle engine?
It can't be advanced deploy, I don't think.
No.
It could always have a rule that says it's advanced deploy, but
it could always make a rule. Yeah.
See, I've heard the guy who's selling me the dwarves was saying he was reading rumors about it, and there were people online saying that it would be like a troop transport.
That was the forum threads. They were a mess.
That can't happen in War Machine.
Their highest aspiration was for them to spawn like high shields.
Yeah,
like,
I know. What? It's
not even Forge Guards.
No, high shields.
I liked high shields. I had 30 of them.
Yeah, they were kind of okay in Mark 1.
They were not the worst in Mark 1.
I don't know. I don't mind.
They're not bad, but for the price, you can get better stuff.
Exactly. The double tap, I quite like.
They should have had assault and battery. That would have made sense.
Wouldn't they have speed shield wall? That's shield wall and combined range, isn't it?
Shield wall, combined range, and double tap.
And the double tap, yeah.
Yeah, but I think assault and battery would be good because you could make shots then bugger the fuck away, like.
Yeah, but dwarves are slow.
Yeah, so. I know, but even still, like, buggering the fuck away 8 inches would still help.
Well, I guess. I don't know, I still think, I guess if you're insistent on playing Seer Forge, they fill a role.
The rest of the points. That's the role they fill.
They're better than the Ogryn Assault Corps.
The Assault Corps aren't bad.
They look awesome.
They look awesome. I honestly don't think they're that bad. They're not great, but
deviation, yeah, it's high defense, low armor, tree.
Yeah, like they shoot out up to 6 AOE 3s a turn.
Mm-hmm. But they are what, defense 12, armor 15,
armor 16. Oh, yeah, the eight hit points,
like 9 points.
Yeah,
I think you actually, if somebody gave you the rule, you could AD a battle engine.
Oh yeah,
you would deploy before if it had AD on it. You can advance deploy.
Oh yeah, anything on a card could let you do whatever you want. Like,
yeah,
it's just kind of
done
it. But Team Force eventually will do it.
I don't think they'll have it. I think
like Team Force will give you 2 units, 2 monolith bearers, and 2 units of burrowers.
Yeah. I think it'll have the equivalent of a subcortex rule where it can shoot and run, but it suffers -2 if it shoots or something like that. I'd say
the dwarf battle engine.
Yeah, I'd say it'll have something like that. Or if it's going to be speed 3, it's going to have something to make up for. I think they did mention when they first previewed on the Privateer podcast that they would. They mentioned something about the speed of it.
Yeah, but speed 3, like, sometimes they lie.
Well, speed 3
dynamic wasn't supposed to be rat 3.
It's going
to
be a shooting thing anyway. The speed's largely irrelevant.
Mm.
Still, speed 3 is real bad.
Yeah, I can't see people taking it unless it's stupid.
Looks cool though.
Maybe it'll have.
It looks shit. I hate the look of it. It's too much like a Marienburg landship from Fantasy.
It just looks like Animantrax without the fleshy bits.
The Animantrax.
Maybe that's what it is.
No, it'll work this time, guys. I swear.
Did you ever see that? They did this series of Sonic the Hedgehog at one stage. That it was a TV cartoon.
Oh,
and it
dear.
Was like kind of dark,
weird,
and grim.
Dark. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like you know the way Robotnik was turning all the woodland creatures into robots.
Yeah.
And it was like properly like there were like Sonic's uncle had been turned into a robot. And
I remember that was actually a decent joke.
It was
yeah.
cool. Yeah, it was just like 90s. Everything had to be grim.
Yeah,
you know, like postmodern.
Is that the one where they all lived underground and they were in a band? There was a Sonic series where Sonic and his anthropomorphic friends formed a rock band and they did things and the society all lived underground.
I think it was underground, but I think it only lasted one season and they went back to a happier version of Sonic after.
There are two released very near each other.
Yeah,
yeah, because like, yeah, he was the resistance and
he was pure resistance. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, and there was a female fox. That
yes,
there
was.
Interest.
Yeah,
yeah.
She had like a robot arm or some shit.
Yeah. God almighty.
It was on Netflix for a while. Yeah, it kept meaning to watch it, but then I really could bring myself to do it. I did rewatch Batman the Animated Series recently, though.
That's cool.
Years ago. That's an excellent show.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill. Oh, yeah.
That's right, because there was the one that was basically like a slapstick one, which is depressing.
Where he needed chili dogs.
Yeah, that's right. For no good reason. Like, it's not in the game, like...
It's not even like a Japanese
thing. They just
had
to give him something, because Sonic in the game is completely characterless.
Yeah, I suppose.
He's a bit sassy. If you don't play the game,
he wags his finger.
Look at that sass.
And taps his foot sometimes.
A good Prussian hedgehog would never give you that sass.
Not a chance.
God damn it, Kiram, what are you...
If we're gonna watch this is the happy one. This is the
we
happy
should be
one.
Watching the Earthworm Jim intro theme.
Oh, that was brilliant, yeah.
That's a great show.
Yeah, you can see
the Mountain King.
The happy one with Robotnik and his two fucking...
Yeah, it's too weird.
Robots are amazing. And so that show is class. I hate that hedgehog.
Yeah, it is the dark one here, I think. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, that was Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah,
the really evil key. Robot. Oh, there's a foxy chick is a robot.
Yes, yeah, get a robot on.
That's right.
Oh, this was amazing.
It's got a fucking brilliant theme tune, that's for sure.
90s cartoon is pretty great theme tunes.
I have the best cartoon theme tune I'll put on. The ring gave him power, because that's what happened in the game.
That was cartoons, video games, man.
Sonic, he's a real cool dude. Oh, Robotnik was fucking grim in this. Yeah.
He's Dr. Eggman now. That's just
offensive.
That was the Japanese version, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
Okay, don't bring your excuses into this. It's an abomination.
This is the best cartoon team tune.
This is gonna be like
this is the best cartoon theme song ever was made.
I feel like I'm gonna be really offended.
No, this is brilliant. Thundering across the stars to save the universe from I love the show. Minds. Jay searches for his father to unite the magic root and lead his lightning league to victory over the changing form of Saw Boss. Wheeled warriors explode into battle. Wait for it to kick in. Lightning strikes. This is pure 80s.
It hasn't got pointed ears.
Who knows? Wait. Watch what happens to the laser in a second.
I remember this.
Yeah. Watch this movie. It's amazing. Back to like
the laser. Fire the laser rocket onto this guy. Makes no sense.
What the fuck is this?
Gandalf, obviously.
I can confirm that this cartoon does not work as a radio show.
Jace and the Wheeled Warriors.
Amazing show.
You can see how it was direct inspiration for every bit of Robot Wars.
Absolutely.
Every
it's pure season. Robot Wars. Yeah. But that show was actually made by... the guy that made Babylon 5 and some of that. And that was like one of his first like major hits.
Is that what made him let him go on to make Babylon 5?
No, after that he made what was it called? Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future. Jesus. It was a live action early CGI thing. Oh, it's ridiculous.
Oh my god.
It's amazing.
Well, with a name like that, how could you go wrong?
I know, right?
Hell of a thing.
This is what late 80s, early 90s TV was. Amazing. Captain Power and the Soul of the Future. Jesus Christ.
Can
we sign out and just intro this?
I feel like we should... I actually want to really steal the Crippled Systems thing's recommendations now.
I'm going to recommend my top three childhood TV shows.
Okay. Right.
First one was Jason the Wheel Warriors. This is my second one, Captain Power.
You say them and then they can look them up. And then
we'll watch them. Watch this, it's amazing.
You on the radio, watch this.
Look at that.
So I think we've heard enough.
No, watch. The main evil character in this is called Sauron, and he's a really bad CGI'd robot dude.
That's amazing.
Look how bad it is.
Jesus.
He digitized people into.
No! He turned her into pixels.
Look, the bad guy lives in Blade Runner.
So we recommend you look that up on the internet.
Yeah, Captain Power and the soldiers of the Future. What else do you recommend? Jason the Wheel Warriors,
Captain Power and Soldiers of the Future. I have one more recommendation as a kid. Oh, I know it.
Just say it.
No, look. No, because
we have to go around.
Yeah, no, I don't care. It's my house.
You
are in my house now. What the hell is it called?
So, Siski, what do you recommend while killing facts about?
Cities of Gold.
Cities of Gold,
Cities of Gold. All right, we've done that.
No, we haven't. Come on, we have to play.
I live with Kiffery fucking sang us like every other day.
Shut the fuck up and listen to this glorious, glorious intro. The most beautiful combination of French and Japanese animation. From all over Europe, great ships sail west to love.
Why do people not sound like that anymore?
I don't know. The men eager to seek their fortune. I think it was written by Japanese people and animated by French people. It makes no sense.
Apparently they're remaking it.
Are they?
Are rebooting it. They dream of
setting sun that leads to El Dorado and the mysterious
When I was doing the Inca Trail, I just sang this song in my head so many times. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. She's jumping off Machu Picchu.
That's some Assassin's Creed shit there.
Yeah. And some poor South American bloke.
That poor Incan man. White boy, just jump all over him. Fucking weird thing.
Why do you jump and lose your shoe?
How does that Why happen? Is she a Great Plains Indian?
Makes no sense.
Why is there a giant flying golden condor? And why do I feel like it's going to be in my Dungeons and Dragons game?
That golden condor was amazing. It was in one and a half episodes.
Siski, I am in a Dungeons and Dragons campaign where we are searching for a giant golden condor that flies through space.
It was in 1.5 episodes.
Sweet mother of God.
And it was never mentioned again.
1984. That's my so many life choices I made.
All right, those are.
Oh, that would have been in number 4. Actually, that would have been number 4.
Those are Kieran's recommendations.
Okay.
What about you?
Sissy?
All right. I have my top 3 sci-fi shows. So, Stargate SG-1.
Bleh.
Shut up. Stargate SG-1 has the added bonus of using up all of the extra costume department revenue.
That's pretty good.
You know, like, because you have all these, you know, you have all these pilots that never make it. Like, you have your Mongolian pilot and you have your, you know, Viking pilot and everything. Oh, those costumes just going away. It's moldering in the basement somewhere. Not so. SG-1 comes along with its clever blend of ancient world archaeology and made-up science fiction techno-babble, and it just unites the two. And there's some... I'm watching it on Netflix at the moment, and there are some episodes that just end on the most bum note ever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just, like, not even a resolution, not even a, like, oh, here we go again, or, like, a...
It's one where they do a trial, and the guy just gets executed because they didn't convince people that he was innocent.
Yeah, and it's...
Well, the one where they... What was it? The next level of humans, you know, they just all get wiped out, and they're like...
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was pretty grim.
They never get mentioned again.
There was one episode where O'Neill has just said something to Teal'c. He's like, let's go do something crazy, Teal'c. And he just goes... No. And then the episode ends.
The Groundhog Day episode of SG-1 was brilliant.
Yeah. Second recommendation.
Before we go, on, in terms of Stargate, Stargate Universe, what do you think of it? I loved it.
It was alright. It was too much like Voyager.
Voyager? That was more of Battlestar Galactica.
Are any of the Stargates on Netflix?
Yeah,
all of them.
Really? Universe is brilliant, like dark sci-fi.
Because I've never actually watched any of them before.
What?
One of those things I've always meant to watch.
If you want to watch SG-1, you got to stick to the first couple episodes there a bit.
Ooh. There's boobies in the first one.
The first one is
really good. There are boobies
the first,
in
the first,
it.
The first one was rated 18. Second was rated 15.
Two and three are on air. They're not terrible, but they're not great.
They're great.
They're just like they meet some Mongols, and there's some Mongol plot, and O'Neill tricks the stupid Mongols with his gun.
The first season's really bad because you've got that stupid merman episode. You've got the old
merman episode is amazing.
You've got the old man in the
what
in
the, of Amaroka
in the falling down castle episode. You've got so much crap.
The latest episode I watched.
You've got a Quark from DS9.
I fucking love Quark.
Being a weird tree elf.
Onto my second recommendation. Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Oh, it's so good.
It's the best Star Trek series.
So good.
It was a bad imitation of B5.
You're off the podcast.
Babylon 5 is awful.
Oh, fuck you. You're gone. I'm cutting you.
I have noticed this is like the contention.
You said Babylon 5 was awful.
Yeah, I'm cutting him off.
Oh, I see.
I've noticed this is a contention that people seem to only ever like Babylon 5 or Deep Space Nine.
That's because
I've never seen
never time, both.
Like, I've never seen Babylon 5.
I've never
it's
seen
amazing.
Babylon 5.
It's my favorite time.
You have to like Deep Space Nine for the one moment where Q shows up for the first time and Commander Sisko punches him. I mean, it's really, it's like, Picard never hit me. I'm not Picard. Yeah.
It was great to start. The first few seasons were great, and then B5 started out selling it, and then went, let's just copy shit from that.
Yeah. Plus, I'm called Sisko up north, so I have to like it.
That's true, yeah.
I thought that was from the systems.
Oh, the Tong Song?
No.
It's also from the Tong Song.
No, the company that does the IT.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. No. Cisco, spelled with a C and a Q.
He's the first black captain of this podcast.
First and only. And third series. He's only a
commander.
I don't really have to read.
Sci-fi.
Sci-fi?
Yeah, but third sci-fi show.
I'm sure I do. I just can't think of it. Like, Firefly, I don't really count because it was too short. You know?
Yeah, it's
really
short. Series.
I know, but it was only 14 episodes.
Of amazingness.
13 episodes,
yeah. I made up a 14th episode in my head that I act out.
It's called Serenity.
It's Serenity,
yeah.
Yeah. It's the comics. There's three comics before Serenity, there's the comics after Serenity.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll think of
it. Are there comics after Serenity? I didn't know
that.
Yeah,
they go into Bishop's what's his name? Book's backstory and explain stuff about him.
Really?
There's a comic about it.
Yeah,
I haven't read it yet, but I mean to.
Alright, what are your recommendations, Stu?
I'm going to recommend things like Kieran recommended things, and I'm going to recommend good animated series with good intros.
Fuck yourself.
Alright, I'll do that after, but for now, Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, good start.
And I was going to recommend X-Men just for its great intro, the 90s cartoon.
Yeah,
and then I really wanted to think of a third no words intro to an anime that was great, and I couldn't, so I just decided you should listen to the Freakazoid intro.
Yeah,
because Freakazoid intros is great. I don't like Freakazoid. The show is also enjoyable, but the intro is so good.
Cowboy Bebop has a great.
Actually, Cowboy Bebop is a great, mostly wordless intro.
Yeah,
and also kind of 90s.
Tick had a great intro.
Oh yeah, Tick was great.
Yeah.
But actually, the live action one is on Netflix.
Yeah, so there's only one series of that. Or
yeah, it's like six episodes or something. It's almost nothing.
Oh man,
Batman Well.
Andromeda was great.
Go fuck yourself.
Plus, then all the actors from Andromeda were in Stargate.
So, legitimate recommendation.
So bad.
I've been watching Sword Art Online on Netflix, which is like the shittiest name for anime that's actually quite good. It's actually really grim.
I've started watching what's that really famous one with the fucking cable. Cables from their hips and giant
Attack on Titan.
I don't like anime normally. I think the storyline is pretty decent in it, but it still has all the standard anime tropes that drive
me
insane.
It's so grim though. If you haven't seen Attack on Titan, I would recommend it. I watched the first half of the first season
because
I was acquiring it through legal means as it was being aired.
Yeah, Mike,
it's good, but I don't mind the grim part. I just find I find anime so hard to watch because
I was speaking to Adam about this earlier because they recently added Attack on Titan to Netflix and he was been watching it, and it's just the stupid anime tropes of it's an animated program that you have like 20 minutes of one episode is a single image while you have a 45 minute inner monologue while this 10 second thing is happening to the character, and
the main character freaks out, there's just lines everywhere, the close up of his face and his veins.
It's stupid.
I tried watching fucking Gurren Lagann. That was on Netflix for a bit. I don't know if it still is, but I tried watching that and I just couldn't get over the... I actually have a really high threshold for anime-iness. I really like anime. I used to watch a lot of it. And, man, that fucking... there was some interesting plot there, but it was so tropey. I just couldn't deal with it.
Myself and Liz have been playing the game of, as we drive places, of what anime character are the car in front of us headlights. So like, there's so many cars that have like, hey, and then like, you know, they look like a smiley face, and then like the rear headlight lights up, and it's like, oh, now they're embarrassed.
Oh, man.
Classic racist Siski.
When I was younger, I watched Digimon, which is a very addictive theme song on that subject.
Digimon are the champions.
But one of the kids in that had evil eyes, and none of the rest of them did. There were like six kids, and they all had little roundy eyes, and one of them had angry triangle eyes, and he was the troubled child who had all the difficult plot lines, and is he going to be evil? Is he going to be good character? And partway through that series, I was like, is he the dubious moral character because he has evil eyes? Are you racist, Digimon, against eye shape?
Do you always watch Honest Trailers? Honest Trailers thing on YouTube. They did one recently of the Maze Runners.
Right.
Have any of you watched Maze Runners?
Yeah.
It's not a bad movie, but You know the kind of the grumpy guy that's going to give the protagonist a load of abuse or a load of kind of
he was a child actor who has now gotten big.
Yeah, who is he?
I don't know.
Honest Trailer's going to him, goes like, starring this guy, blah blah blah, and then this guy, bitchy resting face, because he's just like all the time, and his eyes are just like, you're going, are you angry? Are you sad? Are you surprised? What are you? It just goes, he's brilliant.
Mike, three recommendations, please.
Well, I gotta give one the show from my childhood I loved, one sci-fi show that I loved, and one show from my childhood that amazing theme tune, just to mark nice. All three of your things that I've stolen. Captain Scarlet, because holy shit.
Oh yeah, that was bad.
Oh, I dare you. Captain Scarlet was amazing. It was really
Is that one of the creepy puppet ones?
Yeah, it's I think Joe 90 was the best of the puppet shows.
You are shitting me.
I honestly do think Joe 90 was the best of the puppet shows.
Mike is on his way here to kill you.
Oh my god, you're literally the only person in the history of the world that liked Joe 90.
It's awesome.
It's not. You're incorrect. Captain Scarlet was the best because it had some really grim parts to it. People died
what were the bad guys called now? The fucking
Mr.
Ons. Yeah,
we are the Mr. Ons.
We are the circular lights that appear on the wall beside this puppet.
Yeah, I bought it all on DVD recently, and I was rewatching it, and like, because they're basically they have a terrorist war with Earth, but they call it a war on nerves, which is a much more badass name for a terrorist war. And it's really petty of them because like in the first episode, Captain Black's expedition on Mars, they find them at the Mr. On base, and they freak out, and they think they're being attacked, so they blow it up. But the Mr. Ons have the ability to completely regenerate themselves. So they regenerate themselves, and then rather than saying, you know, whoa, hold on there, humanity, they blow them up, and then start a war, even though that they cannot be killed. It's just like, that's just really fucking petty, Mars. Come on, guys.
Put too much thought into that.
it's so weird thinking about it as an adult. But it's a good show because there's so many ridiculous parts to it.
So next towards faction, Mr. Ons.
Yes.
Circular lights. You represent them as 30 mil.
Captain Scarlet, next Ignar Warcaster.
But for all of you out there who love your Captain Scarlet trivia, the Mr. Ons are never actually seen on screen.
We all know that because we're ahead of the times.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, new series, Captain Scarlet versus the Mr. Ons, starting
on
Hulu.
They did the Captain Scarlet art. Jerry Anderson's new Captain Scarlet, which is like the CGI one, and this I
heard
seen
that is the
bit.
Jerry Adams new
Jerry Adams Captain Scarlet.
That was like, is this some Captain America and Belfast bullshit we're doing here, or what?
Have we not talked about Captain Planet in Northern Ireland?
Oh, jeez.
The most offensive episode of TV I've ever watched.
They actually nuked the fucking place. Yeah.
No, the IRA stole a nuclear weapon and wanted to blow up. Was it a bakery that sold British goods or something
yep,
like that?
Yep.
It's so bad.
If it's Doomsday, it's Belfast.
They went to the IRA factory. So
it's
bad.
Fucking horrendous.
Fundamental misunderstanding of the reasons for the conflict in the North.
That's my childhood for you.
Yeah.
Captain Planet.
All right, what's your sci-fi series, Mike?
Farscape.
Oh.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Actually, fuck Andromeda. Farscape it is.
Scorpio is such. Farscape has utter brilliance and utter shite in the same series. It varies massively, but I still think it's a brilliant show.
It's one of those shows because it benefits from like I think it was really heavily censored on the BBC when it was shown, but like watching it on Netflix now, like there's so much of it that's just really, really.
Yeah, I rewatched it there a while ago. I thought it was brilliant. Like it's really.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's messed up because like the main character's fucked up in the head like completely.
Is there more nudity than there would have been on TV?
No, it's just darker. Like
you just
puppet
want to
nudity.
See Claudia Black naked, aren't you?
Huh?
You just want to see Claudia Black naked? Is that all it is?
Yes.
Fair. I'm not judging. I'm just asking.
I think it's all like Scorpio's backstory and all that is really dark and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, and there's the episode where. Crichton comes back to Earth, but he hasn't really come back to Earth. It's all like
a simulation
to see how Earth would react to an alien species. But they basically kill off all their other characters in that episode.
Yeah, it's the same though that episode that has they're able to multiply to the two Crichtons and stuff like that. And you don't really and like they start killing off the all the other characters really graphically. Like, because they're just duplicates.
Yeah. There are loads of episodes of it. You're just like, this is really kind of unsettling.
Yeah.
Like the episode where Crichton splits into his primitive, middle, and then super advanced stages, but only one of them is allowed to survive. Otherwise, the ship gets destroyed for some reason I can't really remember. But like future Crichton just has like brain patterns on the side of his head, and he's a complete cunt. And then you have primitive Crichton, who's just like a caveman. He's really lovely. And then you have middle Crichton, who's a bit of both.
Aww. But then, though, like, you have the like you Claudia Black's character, like she has a baby with the other
spoilers. Crichton. Some people haven't seen this show that's nearly 15 years old. Come
on. Spoilers. But like that's with the other Crichton who dies, and then the other Crichton comes back and goes, oh, okay, I'm supposed to be the dad. Like, you know, it's really fucked up. Like,
yeah, it's such a good show. Anyone who hasn't seen it yet, it's on Netflix.
Hey.
Now you know what happens.
And
Anime 3's intro.
The Fantastic Four, clearly.
The robot one, because the Human Torch was too violent?
No. The cartoon, it was around the same time as the X-Men cartoon.
No, the 90s one?
Yeah. Man, I'm fucking the theme tune is just so cheesy. It's amazing.
Get that shit up. I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, look it up. It's absolutely incredible.
Actually, Tiny Toons is also another really good one for intro.
Tiny Toons, yeah, it was good.
A good show. Animaniacs, great. Pinky and the Brain, of course, catchy as fuck.
Yeah.
Now, here we go. Oh, it's bad.
Rocket.
That's how they became. Oh, there is actually team music.
Oh, this is bad. This is excellent. Fantastic ways.
Dude, his underwear hit on.
Don't need no more because of Fantastic Four.
Sue can fade from sight. And the thing, he just loves to fight.
Oh, it's bad. No, that's
excellent.
I still love the fact that whatever before that show was aired, when they couldn't show Fantastic Four over in over on TV over here, so they actually had a version of Fantastic Four where the Human Torch was replaced by this really stupid dumb robot.
Well, Human Torch was originally a robot.
No, but this was actually just really crappy meep robot because they couldn't have a Human Torch. It's so bad.
Have you ever seen like the pirated version? You know, I can't remember which movie studio it is that holds the rights to Fantastic Four. Is it Sony?
Yeah, it is.
But before they made the shitty movies that were released in the mid-2000s, they had the rights and they were due to expire.
So they made a movie
that never got shown. And like it's awful. It's absolutely awful. And you can find it online through totally legitimate means. And
there's a few of them.
Entire budget on Doctor Doom's costume, because that is fantastic, and the rest of the film is utter shite.
There's also the 1990s Nick Fury Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and 1990s Captain America.
Well, that had David Hasselhoff in it.
Yes, it did. Good, yeah. Captain America is really bad.
Looking forward to the new Avengers film.
Yeah, looks good.
Yeah, should be good.
Yep.
And, well, that's finished. And
I'd say it'd be good. Yeah. Everyone thought so far, Guardians of the Galaxy was going to be absolutely horrendous.
This is true.
It's going to be amazing.
This is true. Yeah, so. I have faith.
Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Plus, like, I've never read any comics, so I don't really care.
I've only ever read them in Ultimate Avengers. So.
Yeah.
But the new Fantastic Four trailer came out.
Oh, I haven't seen
kind of crappy.
Yeah,
it's purely because I know it's Fox. So I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's Fox who has Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Yes. That's why.
Yeah, Sony Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Fox has X-Men, Fantastic Four.
They have Daredevil still. Is that them?
It hasn't been a Daredevil in a while.
But it's not Marvel's. It's still owned by some. Actually, well, they own Spider-Man still. Well, no. He's not actually that closely linked. I don't know.
He's taking the comic, but on the movie rights.
Yeah, I don't fucking know. The movie rights are crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to sign off. So, I'm pretty sure we're going to sign off a while ago.
Nope, we're going to keep it all. Yeah. That's what people listen for.
All right, so good night. I've been Siski.
I've been Kieran. I've been the guy trying to be Mike O'Brien.
And I should have been Adam Fox, but for some reason they got me instead.
Yeah, Mike!
It's because I would not allow. I vetoed Adam.
Adam is better Kieran.
Yeah,
so.
We can't have Adam and Kieran on. That would
That's
be just
weird.
Yeah, that would just be fulfilling two of the same niche.
That's fair.
Alright.
Also, playing Adam's voice in Kieran's house seems like it'd be rough, given that his son is sleeping upstairs and he might wake up. Adam's son, I mean. Not Kieran.
Dada? Yeah.
He just went to bed. You know, you can't wake him now.
No. Alright. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Chain attack.
I should always
chain attack.
We should do
chain
a
attack.
Legitimate
chain attack.
Chain attack.
What are we doing?
We should do a legitimate this episode.
Kieran draw a Hitler mustache on you.
Yeah.
It's just part of the challenge, really.
How come he gets to have such a clear mic when Anto is so bad at being Skype?
I mean, have you met Anto?
Well, Anto always does it in his GIMP mask, you see. So.
His sound just vibrates down to the asshole.
Why do we have you back on?
Hi, Mike.
Chain attack.
Have you got an appropriate drink in front of you, Mike?
I have a gin and bitter lemon. Is that appropriate?
Gin and bitter lemon.
did you get that directly from 1924, or was it?
Did your man say?
Yeah. I just figured, you know what? Today is an appropriate day to time travel.
Yup.
Oh. I'm certain what this tasted like.
Does it just taste like bourbon?
It's kind of... It's a bit sweeter than I remember.
Hmm. How
is everybody?
Pretty good. I've just been having some Dawn-approved vitamins.
Ah, I see. Poison,
I do like his picture from, was it Bavarian Masters?
Oh, yeah. Bavarian Masters on this weekend.
Yeah. That's good.
Oh, yeah, I really hope...
Two bottles of vitamins and three bottles of tea?
Yeah. I hope he drinks some of that tea to...
Did you try that tea, Mike?
No.
72% alcohol tea.
It actually was the nicest tasting of all. That's
yeah.
A fancy
pen.
Yeah. It burned like fire.
I thought it would be.
It was really nice, but it burned like fire.
I thought it was the nicest. Like, no, I thought it was the one that had the blue, the clear plastic bottle with the blue tap on it was the worst.
Oh, that was off. The one that Martin made himself.
Yeah, because there was two of them. It was a red cap and a blue cap. And the blue was...
The red, I don't think I had the blue. The red was off. The raspberry one.
I mean, I'll say it was the red one was the bad one, yeah. The blue one wasn't too bad. But yeah.
Sounds kind of dodgy when you have to describe alcohol by the colour of the lid.
The colour of the lid on the plastic bottle.
Yeah.
See-through plastic bottle.
Yeah.
Well, the year before...
Label,
the year...
It says this alcohol is pasteurized.
The year before was worse. The Russians arrived with a plastic bottle that you could actually see. It was like a blue plastic bottle, or it was a weird color. But the color was actually seeping into the alcohol, into the liquid.
It was like one of those Dasani bottles that's like slightly blue.
It was
Russian moonshine, and it was the worst thing I've ever drank.
Very dangerous,
like drinking motor oil, basically.
Mm. Yeah.
You're
forgetting. If I were a robot, I'd appreciate this. Shut up, Mike.
I got assassinated bottom of one today by this fucker.
How did you manage that?
Social one, bitch.
Ah.
Charged axes for 8 inches, and so I killed him. And then I reset my turn and we played again.
That was a foolish move. What would be thinking you move more than 8 inches in your first turn? Come on.
I think average dice. I think he was. Oh, he's all right. Well, it's
if I remember to activate focus properly to Behemoth, it would have been
yes.
I got a top of 2 assassination for the first time I reloaded it last weekend. That was pretty sweet.
Who was it?
Epic Doom Chipper, and he the guy using Siege, and he just advanced Siege forward too much. I was able to goad him, and at first it was ridiculously janky. And,
what episode is this?
It took the affinity attack to do it in the end, but still, it was good fun.
Yeah, that's what the affinity attack is for.
assassinating people at the top of two.
You came up with Scorn too easily. You could have had Epic Xerxes to do that. Does it quite well as well.
Well, I haven't like left Scorn forever.
That was really defensive. I haven't left it forever.
Not forever. Not back.
They still spoon sometimes.
Did you post up on this or was...
No. My level of enthusiasm for the last episode was not high. I was feeling it's episode 18. I think it's episode 18.
I think we're still on the podcast drop down though, so that's something.
Well, yeah, of course you are. I'm in charge of the mom website.
Okay. can you stop Oz Machine from posting this stupid podcast in the article section?
I do. I have stopped them. 17
was back.
18.
That episode was such a mess.
That was an absolute. It was about the starting bit where Sissy's like, I'm so sorry, but I have to play this part about consentical for any of this to make sense.
It's good advertising.
Yeah. You. You should have posted it up and a link to consentical.
I should have. You're right. That is something I should have done.
For sure.
All right, Mike. So you've got the agenda. We're going to talk about the new Masters format. Then we're going to talk about the WTC. Then more WTC talk about Team USA and Team Northern Ireland. Do you have the thing?
Yeah.
You had your stats, right?
We're talking about how dreamy Michael Ryan's eyes are as well.
Yeah.
Will I be expected to have the stats at hand?
No, Stu's got them.
Right, Stu might have them. We'll see how he goes.
Yeah.
Okay. So long as I'm not asked to recite the schedule off by memory, you keep me right, it'll be fine.
Good.
Should I set up some sort of selfie stick GoPro action?
What's your... Yes, you should. And you should tag it all, James Morehouse.
I don't really know what that is. Do I have to give you your phone back to do that?
What's your... stuff? I don't really want to give it to you, actually.
I've confiscated Kieran's phone, Mike.
I've had my internet confiscated in my own house.
Well, that's fair. Wait. Any particular reason you had it confiscated? Sorry. I'm just being left...
Because Siski is a meanie pants.
last podcast, he just passed around images of Japanese porn to us throughout the episode.
Yeah.
Ah.
No, it was
I miss that all good fun.
Yeah, anytime, like, it got edited together, but anytime that anyone tried to say anything, Kieran was like, but I have this picture of fucking Amy Huberman in her underwear.
Amy Huberman wasn't mentioned.
I don't know, someone. Some woman.
Is there someone in their underwear?
Someone with a bum.
There was. I'm getting vague recollections of that.
About eating someone was the cure for something else.
Ooh,
I don't
getting
know.
Weird fast.
It never made it.
Underwear, should so it be conservative for Japanese pornography?
It never made it to the full podcast. So.
Real cannibal Kieran Bulger.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember. I vaguely remember just looking at someone in their underwear.
Mm. See, this is why you don't have your phone.
I thought Anto started that.
I think Anto might have mentioned it, and then you immediately went to find it.
That's possible.
Do you make these excuses in your own subconscious?
Connecting. Why is your internet crap?
It's your internet.
No, this is your internet here. This is your Google. What is this? Why is it so heavy?
Amazon.
It's the heaviest thing in the world.
Yeah, it's definitely the heaviest thing in the world.
It is. I'm a scientist.
Don't you mean it has the most mass?
No. We have gravity here, so it has weight.
Ha!
Dick. Aww. Oh, that, for some reason, this isn't working.
You're a monster.
Why isn't it
working? Is your thing just wrong?
No, it keeps saying authentication problem.
But like, are you entering it wrong?
Yes, I mentioned it right.
Yes, you're entering it wrong.
I mentioned it right. It said connect.
And just look up the Team WTC.
Oh, why didn't you just ask me to do that?
I didn't want to let you have access to the internet.
In my own home.
In your own
home. Beside my computer.
WMHWTCUSA.wordpress.com.
WMH-WTC?
No, no dash.
WMH.
WTC. USA.
This work.
What have you looked up instead?
Go fuck ourselves. <Sis Curry. laughs> That's my anger typing right there.
I see.
WMHWTC.
So whose bright idea was to have me on the podcast?
Mine.
God
down with this game.
I'm full of great ideas. What else do you have to do on a Saturday night?
Well, touche.
I see you've got me there.
Oh yeah, Pan. Does that mean China's not in?
Pan Latin America and Pan Asian teams.
That's the warm. I need the USA site.
Yeah, that's what you said. WMH, WBC.
You did say
US,
that.
Team US. And I said more things. WMH, WDC, USA. WordPress.com. I did. I read it out.
You may just say USA every other few minutes. You make it. You make it.
I mean, that's just a verbal tick that is not at all related to my nationality.
I heard all Americans have cancer.
That's true.
Yes.
Makes their dicks extra huge.
I got this abnormal growth. No, that's just being American.
Oh,
nice.
Oh yeah.
It's all by growing up and being British.
Cool. I wear the internet.
Yeah. Good job. Good
job. I don't know anymore.
Okay, so let's get started. I think it's about time we got started.
Do you want to move to more recording thing to
Yeah, let's see. Speak a bit there, Brian. Or Mike.
Oh, Brian or Mike.
Mike, Brian or Mike.
I'm speaking. What am I speaking about?
I'm just seeing how loud you are. Speak again.
Hello.
That's better. Okay.
Okay.
One thing that should be noted is that Siski is doing a great impression of yourself here in the way he's dressing and combing himself.
He does not have a proper handkerchief, though.
No. But other than that, he is the little equivalent of you.
Well, it's the thought, guys.
Yeah.
The foppish thought.
Yeah. Well, I'm a civil servant now, Mike, so I thought I'd better act the part.
I had to trim the curly parts of my mustache, and I went into work, and the security desk said, "Oh man, where's the Prussian mustache gone?"
I immediately made my morning.
Fantastic.
I saw miss my big mustache.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're that one you posted during November, whatever it was.
November, yeah.
Fucking kicks ass. Where's that ass?
I know, I need to get that back. she won't let me though.
Yeah. Okay, so Mike, do you have yourself on Audacity?
I do, yeah.
Cool. So do you want to start recording then?
Yeah. Oh, I have been just...
Excellent. Yes. Excellent.
Your own pre-ramble just got into us.
Grand. So I'll sync them up, and that'll be that.
Mike's musings on life as a segment.
It'll just be every time I speak, it'll just be cut out with Mike saying something random. Not even denying.
Mike, you should just record yourself reading excerpts from like The Art of War. Feels like it's too.
What was one?
Cliche.
What was the one
more
from
ridiculous?
Man on the Moon? I was reading. That comedian that got up on stage and as opposed to doing his routine, he just started reading a book.
Andy Kaufman,
yeah. Was it Nietzsche? Nietzsche?
All right.
Or something like that. He just basically picked up a book and just started reading it on stage because people wanted him to do his usual routine.
Random excerpts from the explanation of Consenticle from their website.
Yeah.
Just read, when we're gone, just recite all that and send the file to Siski and he will replace everything Kieran says with an out of context for equal length amount of you saying something from that website.
But what you need to do is you need to have someone sit beside you with a random phone and just show you pictures from this game. So you're just reading the excerpt without knowing what it looks like, and then you just get randomly shown these images and just react to them.
And one in every four should be from the Holocaust. So that way it's just grim.
I'll try my hardest.
That's the human condition, man.
That's the Shoah. All right, faux shower.
Also, Mike had a Prussian mustache, so clearly we should, remind him of the horrors of his people.
Yeah,
those damn
horrors
Prussians.
Of my people or horrors done by my people?
By your people.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Mikhail von Braun.
My true name. Yeah.
I incant thee and abjure thee.
He just stand in front of a mirror and say his name three times. He turns behind you and puts a handkerchief in your
What?
Purse.
I was in the fucking shower.
Yeah, and I appear and I'll comb myself and then just disappear. It's a really shitty curse, but it happens.
Most inopportune times.
Yeah. It's a very mundane horror film.
Yeah.
double Windsor is how you tie that tie.
Oh, thanks, Mike. A friend of mine's superpower was after he had lost a card game, he could say what the next card he was going to draw would be.
After he'd lost.
After he had lost.
Yes. I knew I should have stuck in one more round.
Yeah.